We talked about this story a couple days ago, but a lot of people are still debating whether this woman is doing the right thing or not. If you missed it, suburban Chicago police officer wrote a lady a ticket, $132 speeding ticket, and they went on their separate ways. And then he, having her address from the driver's license that she handed over, decided, hey, she's pretty hot. I should have asked her out, or maybe now I will. So he drove her to her house, and he put a note under the windshield wiper of her car. So she comes out, and there's a note from the cop who a couple days previously had given her a traffic ticket asking her out.
Hmm.
Now, the note, do you still have the note, Bean?
I do.
Okay.
It's Chris, that ugly, bald cop who gave you that ticket. I know this may seem crazy, and you're probably right, but truth is, I have not stopped thinking about you since. I don't expect a girl as attractive as you to even go for a guy like me, but I'm taking a shot anyway. I understand if you don't get in touch, but hey, I did cost you $132. The least I can do is buy you dinner.
Now, on the surface of it, when you just tell the story without the note, pretty damn creepy.
Yeah.
The note seems really normal and humble, and look, it's cool if you don't. I know this is crazy. But there's just something about you. The note makes me, I may not want to go out with him, but it makes it okay.
All right, no.
It makes it less creepy because he doesn't seem like a weirdo stalker. He seems like a regular guy who is breaking his own protocol just because he found you so attractive.
Right.
Now we're going to take your calls, 1-800-520-1067, if you have an opinion on what she did next.
Well, what she did next is file a lawsuit, ladies and gentlemen. Because this is America, Bean. Why not?
File a lawsuit.
She filed a lawsuit, and here's what the lawsuit said. The letter caused the plaintiff to suffer great fear and anxiety. Plaintiff could not believe that a police officer would use his access to her personal information to find her home and stalk her. Now, isn't stalking a little bit extreme based on the information that we have in this story? If he went to her house one time and put a note on a windshield, is that really stalking?
And on a windshield, he didn't even walk up to the door.
Right.
Right.
I doubt it, but I think the creepy factor is she didn't have any choice except to give him her home address.
Right. So that's true.
He got that information while working.
Right.
And she had no choice. So now he's using his position of power to go back and track her down. Yeah, the note's not overtly, threatening or anything, but it is a little creepy that the dude that gave you a ticket is going to then put a note on your car in your driveway. I don't know. It feels a little creepy to me.
But he didn't use his position of power to break into her home and install a webcam.
Right.
I mean, he left a piece of paper on her car. I mean, how much of an abuse of power is that, really?
All right, let's talk to Jody.
Okay.
She has an idea of it, and that's what we're looking for. So we're looking for girls who have, what's your take on it?
Strong opinion.
Would you be freaked out by it?
And I'm glad we are taking calls specifically from women here at 1-800-520-1067, because it is hard for me to put myself in the shoes of what it must have been like for this young woman. And by the way, bad job, media, for not showing me her picture.
Yeah.
How hot does this chick have to be for the cop 2 days later to find, to go over to her house and leave a note?
They have a picture of the cop, though, Bean?
They don't have a picture of anybody.
Oh,
but that should be in this story.
Agreed.
Is what I'm saying. She's 27 years old, and I can't put myself in her shoes of what it must be like. And Lisa, you brought this up a couple days ago when we mentioned this story briefly. Who knows what kind of crazy history she has where maybe she's ultra sensitive to being pursued like this because she's had trouble with a stalker in the past or whatever. We don't know anything about that.
Right. And it does occur to me, if the note were written differently, I would have a very different opinion of it.
I think so too.
Blanket-wise, probably a bad idea.
Now, the note is in blood. I don't know if I mentioned that. He did write it with his own blood.
You didn't mention that.
What would you think if you were that lady? Should she just be flattered? Should she be upset? Should she contact the police department and have the guy reprimanded? Should she contact the guy and say, don't ever come near me again? Or should she do what she's done, which is file a lawsuit? Let's see what Jody's got to say about this here on the Kevin Beach Show. Hi, Jody. Thanks for calling. Thanks for holding on.
Hi. I totally think that she should be flattered. I mean, what she did is terrible. He was being honest, sincere, and she's just, her behavior is atrocious.
So
doesn't she know how to take a compliment?
So at the very worst, she should just turn it down and not worry about it. The lawsuit.
Or ignore it or whatever, but don't make a big federal case out of it, right?
Right. Right.
Now, what about Kevin's point that this would have been different if it was a guy who lived in the neighborhood that saw her walk into a car one day and thought she was cute and wanted to approach her and left a note? This is a guy who used, information that she involuntarily had to offer to him in the course of doing his job to be able to find out where she lived. Does that change your opinion at all?
Well, yeah. I mean, there's maybe a little bit of a factor, but not lawsuit worthy. I mean, the whole litigious society thing has me really, disturbed.
I totally
agree
with you. The lawsuit is absurd, but I find it a little creepy. That's
all. They probably shouldn't be allowed to do that.
Yeah. I'm sure they're not. Yeah.
Let's try Danielle, by the way. Danielle's on line one, joining us here on the Kevin Bean Show, 1-800-520-1067. Police officer gives a woman a speeding ticket. 2 days later, goes to her house, leaves a note under her windshield, says, "Hey, I can't stop thinking about you. I'd like to go out." Does that sound all right to you? Is that just a guy meeting a woman in the course of doing his job like all of us do every day? Or does it take it too far? What do you say, Danielle?
Takes it too far. If he had asked her out right there, that would be different. But the follow-up, going to her house and leaving a note on the car, it's a little beyond the scope of everyday meeting.
What do you think the woman's response should have been when she saw the note on her car windshield?
It should not have been a lawsuit. It should have been a call to the station like, "Hey, somebody should look into this." Because who knows what else he's doing with information that he's gained. He's got access to so much information,
yeah,
being an officer.
Yeah.
And who knows what else he's doing. And what if she turns him down and he gets angry and he starts showing up at her house every day?
Well, no, I don't think we have any reason to believe he's a crazy stalker, though. I mean, the note doesn't certainly doesn't sound like he's a crazy stalker.
No, but the follow-up does.
Yeah, the fact that he tracked down her address and went and left a note, it's not a big red flag, but there's a tiny little red flag there.
But you've been smitten where you just had to find her, haven't you?
Yes, but you know what you do is you don't give her a ticket. I mean, that's step one.
Isn't that sort of bribery?
You pull her over. If she's hot and you want to date her, you still get the information.
I think Lisa's right. I think the cop gets in way more trouble if he says, "Yeah, I should give you a $132 speeding ticket, but instead I'm going to ask you out and maybe we'll forget about the ticket." I mean, now you really are getting into an offering a bribe kind of situation.
I agree.
Only if they find out that he pulled her over.
Right.
If you didn't give her a ticket, they don't know that she got pulled over.
That's true, but I guess that's true, yeah.
I'm saying he doesn't ask her out right at the moment. I'm saying it's the exact same situation where he tracks her down afterwards. I think it would have increased his chances had he not written her a ticket.
Is that what you're worried about, his chances?
I'm just saying it was a bad move on his part.
Danielle, glad you called. Thanks so much. We're going to take a break. We got plenty more calls on this with some different opinions too. 1-800-520-1067. Was the cop out of line? And then is the woman out of line for filing a lawsuit? And what's going to happen with this? I have no idea. We'll take your calls next on the Kevin.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. Don't forget your chance to win Coldplay tickets are coming up at 9 a.m. this morning.
Oh, me.
May 1st, May 2nd, Hollywood Bowl. You get tickets for that. And then you also qualify to get on the standby boarding list for a trip for two to Madrid, Spain.
Nice.
How about that?
Not you.
No. You work right here. You can't get it.
9 o'clock this morning here on the Kevin Bean Show. Right now, we're taking your calls at 1-800-520-1067. Particularly looking for ladies to comment on the story that we broke a couple of days ago, but now we have time to discuss. The police officer who pulls over a woman in Illinois, gives her a speeding ticket, thinks how hot she is. A couple days later, goes to her house, leaves a note on her car saying, "Hey, I'm the cop who pulled you over. I'd like to go out with you. I know this is crazy, but let me know." Well, she did let him know by filing a lawsuit saying that she's terrified. And we're talking about whether this is an overreaction on her part and whether this is way out of line on his part. We got some fascinating emails on this topic. Listen to this one from Kathy. "This is just like a lot of sexual harassment cases," she says. "If women find men attractive that harass them, they don't report it because they don't mind it."
That's right. How hot is he?
If she thought he was cute, she would have been flattered by the gesture and probably called him. Lisa, your thoughts on that?
I agree.
Yeah.
It makes a difference, right?
It does make a difference.
So if you're an ugly dude, be careful.
He didn't describe himself pleasingly.
No, he didn't.
No, he did say he was fat and bald. Yeah. Right? Ken writes in, "I was a bartender. I took down the address of this girl that I carded. When I checked her ID for age, I thought she was very attractive. Well, I did the exact same thing as the police officer you're talking about. I dropped her a note on her car the next day. It almost word for word said the same thing that the cop did, minus the bald part. She called me and we dated for a few months after that. What's the difference?" Ken is saying, in the course of him doing his job, he got a woman's address, asked her out, same as a cop. She ended up going out with him. This woman's filing a lawsuit. What's the difference?
I think the difference is that he's an officer of the law, which puts him in a position of power,
right,
that he's abusing. Now, is this a lawsuit? I don't think so at all. I think the lawsuit to me, is ridiculous.
But a cop could make your life very difficult if he wanted
to. Of course. I'm just saying, to me, it strikes me as a little creepy.
Yeah.
Let's see what Aaliyah has to say. She is calling us on line 3 here on the Kevin Bean Show. Aaliyah, thanks for dialing us up. Thanks for listening. What's going on?
Hi. Good morning, guys. Good morning, Lisa.
Good morning.
Hi. And it's Aaliyah. Sorry.
Aaliyah.
Yeah. So sorry.
No problem. I think she should have been flattered. And if he had continued to contact her and leave her more notes, then file a lawsuit. I mean, the dude's out of a job now, right?
Well, it doesn't say. It doesn't say in the article what the police action is against him, if it's an investigation or he's suspended or anything like that. We don't know yet. I know that the police are not happy when a lawsuit is filed against one of their officers.
No, but it does seem like she jumped to a quick conclusion,
right,
filing a lawsuit. I mean, you're right. Maybe try to ignore or let him know that she's not available. And then
exactly.
If something else happens, now you can do something.
On the
she
surface, it seems
smart about it and then appeared to court to pay the ticket or try to fight it. She could have met him there and then he could have waived the ticket.
Yes. You know what? I'm going to court to fight this ticket on the 23rd. If you're not there, we can go out.
There you go.
That's a win-win right there.
I might as well get something out of it.
Thank you for the call. Alma writes in, by the way, saying, hey, this isn't stalking, remember. Stalking means more than once. She is paranoid. Police officers are human, and I'm sure it took a lot of balls for him to do that, to even ask her out. She should have just said, no thank you, I'm flattered, but no thanks. If he kept pressuring her after that, then it's stalking. Is what Alma says.
All right.
1-800-520-1067. Let's try Karen a tiny bit off topic. She's on line 6. I think she has a similar story to share with us. Karen, welcome to the Kevin Bean Show.
Hi.
Hi there.
So when I was in college as a waitress, I had a lot of different police officers come into the restaurant.
Uh-huh.
And one night after my shift, it was like 1 a.m. and I was already on the freeway. I had a police officer pull me over and said that I had waited on him earlier in the evening and he waited to, and then pulled me over to ask me out. And it completely creeped me out.
Yeah, that's a little weird. It's a little weird because had he asked you at the restaurant, you probably would have been fine with it.
Yeah, and he was attractive. It just creeped me out to think that someone waited hours and then waited to follow me until I was on the freeway.
Right.
Yeah. No kidding. So what'd you do?
I didn't report it, and I definitely didn't file a lawsuit because I was super creeped out that the last thing I want to do is piss someone off like that.
Right. But right. Did anything else come of it? Or
did you go out?
No.
Oh, all right.
By the way, thank you very much for the call. We appreciate it, Karen. And some people have pointed out, by the way, and I never even thought of this. Yeah, this is a guy who has a gun, too. Remember that. Well, whatever sure. Your decision is going to be, remember that he's packing. And let me read one more email. This is from Nima. I tried calling. I couldn't get through. I wanted to point out that some girls are really heavy on the flirting, especially to get out of a ticket. This cop may have interpreted her flirting as genuine interest and made a decision that he never imagined would backfire like that. Interesting, right?
Yeah, that is.
I'm 30 and I'm a physician. I get patients, other women, flirting with me all the time. I've never peeked at their registration info to land a date, but I can see how someone on the receiving end of flirting and in a moment of poor decision making would be tempted to do so, says Nima. By the way, I'm going to start going to Nima.
No,
Nima sounds like a goer.
Let's
love
talk
that.
To a police officer.
Yes.
Oh, interesting.
How about that? Jeremy, hi.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
So you're a police officer. You've tried this?
Yeah, I've actually done it twice. I didn't actually give the ticket, like Lisa said. I actually let him go.
All right, Jeremy, so let's just nail that down. If you're a cop and you find somebody attractive and you want to ask her out, you don't give her a ticket.
Yeah, no, you don't.
The guy's a bonehead.
He hates everything, you know, because you're trying to talk to the girl and trying to see if you make her interested. If you give her a ticket, she's just going to get upset and then it's going to go the other direction.
Okay, so you said, I'm giving you a warning. Did you ask her out there or did you then, like he did, get the address of her, you know, her home, show up, knock on, leave a note, whatever?
Well, you know, I never did the address thing.
Never did that.
First one, I talked to her right then and there after I was done giving her the warning. And then the second one, I waited a couple of days later as well, but it wasn't, I actually called her.
Okay.
I got her information, so it was, I'm not going to go to the house. It's a, you know, it is a little, you know, too much there. But
you think the house problem is the thing? Like if you text her or call her, you're not at her house, so that's probably less scary.
Yeah, a little bit. You know, a lot of people seem to think like, you know, how did you get my address, or you know, why are you even coming to my house? So I didn't want to, you know, go that far.
Right.
I just gave her a quick call, and
did it work out?
Actually, yeah, it did.
It
worked out for both.
Huh. What are the rules if that's you're a police officer? And I know they may be different from, you know, jurisdiction to jurisdiction. I mean, are you advised to not ask out people that you come in contact with through the course of your duties?
Yeah, because we're on duty and we're not allowed to do that. But you know, like Lisa May said, or I think it was Kevin, you know, they're not really tracking everything we're doing, so there's no way of them actually knowing that we pulled somebody over or not.
Right. So you did it, and then you came on the radio to talk about it.
Yeah, they don't know who I am. So
good man. Right. Yeah. Good man. All right, Jeremy. We always appreciate the perspective from the law. Thanks for the call, dude.
Have a good one, guys.
Thank you, man. Hey, party people. Welcome to a brand new Kevin and Bean show on a Monday morning. It is time for the showbiz beat, and that's what I'm here to do for you. It is Monday morning, so like every Monday morning. What's that?
Go to blue. This microphone's not working?
Nope.
How about this one? Is this one working? Is this microphone working? Nothing? Okay. Why don't we go into another song, Ben? How about that? Let's see. Really? But you're not hearing anything on the headphones. Well, this is an excellent start to a Monday morning. This is the way we want to get going. Omar, what have you done? What have you done to my studio? All right. I'm just going to keep talking because I assume they can hear me.
You're good.
I am?
Yep.
All right. Let's go to the top 10 movies at the box office this weekend. Starting with Brave, surprisingly, the new animated film from Disney about the little Scottish redhead running around trying to prove that she's somebody. $66.7 million made it number one this weekend. Pretty huge. Madagascar 3, Europe's Most Wanted, continues to do well. $20.2 million. Made it number two at the box office this weekend. Abraham Lincoln Vampire Hunter, a disappointing $16.5 million this weekend. Made it number three at the box office. Then Prometheus and Rock of Ages rounding out the top five. Snow White and the Huntsman was number six. That's My Boy was seventh. The Avengers was number eight. Back in Black, I must said. Men in Black 3 was ninth. And then Seeking a Friend for the End of the World in its debut, the new Steve Carell comedy, only made $3.8 million this weekend, making it number 10 out of the top 10. A new musical about Michael Jackson is in the works. Well, not about him exactly. It is about his former manager, the late Frank DeLeo. They put together a show called The Man, and it's based on Frank's relationship with Michael. Now, there's no mention of Michael, so he doesn't have permission from the Jackson estate to use Michael's name, likeness, or music. So that musical will bloat. Kings of Leon frontman Caleb Folliwell is a proud papa. He welcomed a baby girl with his wife, Victoria's Secret model Lily Aldridge, into the world on Thursday morning at the hospital in Nashville. The couple named her Dixie. Dixie Pearl Folliwell. It's their first child. Caleb and Lily got married back in May of 2011. So congratulations to the Folliwells, and I'm sure that Nicole here at the station thought the early babies would have been better.
Way better.
Yeah. Elvis Presley's crypt is no longer for sale. Damn it! I was going to get Kevin that for Christmas. They were going to sell the tomb at Forest Hill Cemetery in Memphis, where Elvis was first laid to rest before he was buried in the backyard at his home in Graceland. Darren said the fans from all over the world demanded that the crypt remain a shrine to the memory of the king of rock and roll. So it will be. Perfectly good waste of a crypt, if you ask me. Weeds returns next Sunday, but one cast member is already looking forward to the next part of his career. Hunter Parrish, who plays the oldest son, Silas, is releasing his first EP called Guessing Games on Friday. And apparently, yes, he can sing. He has already been on Broadway in the hit musical Spring Awakening, and he did the Godspell as well. So he's got that in the works. And as I told you last week, rumors are swirling that the newly single Johnny Depp has been spending time with a young actress named Amber Heard. Now, here's the thing. I had always Amber Heard that she was a lesbian.
Hey now! Hey-o!
But maybe Johnny Depp has that kind of power. He can sway even lesbians to the other side of the tracks. They worked together, of course, in the Rum Diaries. Amber told the British tabloid The Sun that Johnny has the ability to light up the room. And apparently a vagina. He looks even better close up, she says. Well, the two of them are spending a lot of time together these days, enjoying some new hobbies. And he bought her a horse so that they can go riding together. Oh, could that be romantic? I don't think so. Matthew McConaughey in the news.
Magic Mike!
He's got Magic Mike, the stripper movie, coming up. But he's also talking about his new marriage. He finally married his baby mama, Camilla Alves, recently, and he said he wasn't worried about the wedding and had no regrets, but he broke into tears when he saw her walking down the aisle. Listen, you bastard. You're already making things rough enough for the rest of us as it is, looking like you do with your shirt off all the time.
Yeah, with those 12 abs.
Don't start getting all sensitive to add to your abs. Unacceptable. Jennifer Lopez is still seeing her backup dancer, Casper Smart. Now, here's the thing. There's been some insinuating messages being spread around the Tweeternet, the Twitterverse, saying that perhaps Casper Smart is just using Jennifer Lopez for her fame and her money. Why, you may ask? Well, someone named Joshua Lee Ayers has been insinuating via his tweets that Casper Smart is more into the fellas than he is to the ladies.
Ooh.
Yeah. Perhaps Casper is playing the ultimate role, trying to get money and fame out of his relationship with Jennifer Lopez. Because in reality, he wants to massage John Travolta, if you know what I mean. Wink, wink, nudge, nudge. And George Clooney, his relationship with Stacey Keibler in the news. The couple is vacationing at George's villa in Lake Como, Italy. And paparazzo and friends seem to think that Stacey could be sporting the legendary baby bump. Could Clooney be about to become a dad?
Wow.
That would make me very sad because I've always hoped he would adopt me and he would be my dad. But apparently it's not going to happen. And it looks like bad numbers for the premiere of Snooki and JWoww, the spinoff reality show for MTV, not doing as well as they expected.
Say it's not so.
Yeah. Overnight Nielsen ratings gave Snooki and JWoww just 2.4 million viewers. That's about a third of the audience that tuned in for the Jersey Shore premiere. So,
wow.
Apparently not doing as well as they expected.
But they'll air all the episodes because it's summer TV.
That's right.
Yeah.
And they got nothing else.
Right.
And look, 2.4 of something is better than a lot of nothing.
Yep.
Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthdays. Actor, comedian, Jimmy J.J. Walker. Dynamite! Anybody remember that was from? Good times. Ricky Gervais, legendary British comedian. His HBO show is back up and running again. Very funny animated program. He is 51 years old. George Michael. I heard Wham's getting back together for like one concert just to sort of celebrate their 30th anniversary. Not their gayness.
Oh, that's
no.
What I thought they were going to celebrate.
No, not at all.
Okay.
George Michael's 49 years old. Rapper Candyman turns 44. Sean Kelly, Sixpence None the Richer fame. He's a guitarist for that band, is 41 years old. Angela Kinsey from The Office also turns 41. Mike Kroger, bassist for Nickelback. He is 40 years old today. Actress Linda Cardellini. She was on ER. She was on Freaks and Geeks, Scooby-Doo. 37 years old today. And speaking of Freaks and Geeks, her Freaks and Geeks co-star, Busy Phillips, from Dawson's Creek and other programs as well. I guess she's on that Cougar Town now. 33 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman, and I walk the showbiz.
Quick reminder, we gave away some tickets to Coachella a few minutes ago. You have your chance coming up at 9 a.m. here on the Kevin and Bean Show. K-Rock World Tour 2012 destination number 2 is going to be Radiohead in the south of France. So what this means is you win tickets to see Radiohead at Coachella in the U.S. And then Tuesday, maybe we call you and send you to Europe to see him one more time. Get all the details at K-Rock.com. And again, 9 o'clock this morning, your chance to win and to qualify for the big prize.
So in hockey, they have something called a healthy scratch. Just before a game, they say so the healthy scratches are so-and-so.
What
and
is that?
That means
I saw them at Coachella last year, the healthy scratch.
That means they have more players than they can put on the bench.
Oh, okay.
So a lot of times they'll leave somebody out. In this particular case, they said it was an upper body injury, which is code for we're not going to tell you what's wrong, basically, in hockey.
Okay.
So on Monday night, when they were playing the Washington Capitals and Alexander Ovechkin, who's maybe one of the best players in the league, and by the way, destroyed them, the healthy scratch was Dustin Penner. And Dustin Penner is not my favorite player because we got him at the end of last year to be a goal scorer, to score a lot of goals. Since then and now, he's scored 4. If you count the playoffs, 5. I feel like I could have just on accident knocked in 5. You know what I mean? Like, we didn't get him to play defense and maybe score. We got him to score.
Right.
So I'm not a big fan of his anyway. And his nickname is the Flying Fridge because he's not always in shape.
Oh, man.
He likes to eat a little bit. So they finally came out after they said he was a healthy scratch and it was an upper body injury. And he admitted Dustin Penner knocked himself out of the lineup by eating, quote, delicious pancakes. Eating pancakes.
How?
Quote, I woke up fine Saturday, sat down to eat, and it locked right up. It never happened to me before. I couldn't stand up. It was probably the third stage of evolution. So my wife helped me get dressed. I drove to the rink. I hoped they could help me out. Apparently, there were pancakes in front of him. And then he leaned forward to eat them. Boom! Out for the game.
Oh, my God.
And this is, you haven't mentioned it, but this is his back, right?
This is his back, yeah. I'm sorry.
His back.
This is his
right.
back, yeah.
Well, you know, Kevin, you've had back injuries more than most people. You know that once it's damaged, it can surprise you at any time. It can go out doing nothing.
Yeah, but I don't think he's got a bad back. I mean, maybe he does, but this is one of those things. Beans has had a bad back. And when we were in, where was it, Tampa for the Super Bowl?
Yes, that's right.
Hurt his back putting on his pants. And he called me and he said, hey, dude, I'm serious. I got to go to the hospital. I just hurt my back putting on my pants. And I said, ha, 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 let's go. When are we leaving? And he said, no, I'm serious. I need to go to the hospital. So he went to the hospital and I took his Super Bowl ticket and scalped it.
Well, of course you did.
And went. I'm not going to stay in the hospital during the Super Bowl. Are you kidding?
You can't help him.
But you know, I don't know what Penner's particular situation is with his back. But it's not just hurt your back. It's to the point of paralysis where you can't move. It hurts so much you're going to die. You know, and you certainly can't play hockey. You can't even walk in a situation like that.
Right, but I would like to suggest if you're a hockey player, and hockey players are notoriously tough. If you're a hockey player, make something up. You were lifting weights. Mm-hmm. Is the easiest one.
Right, that's easy. No one can source you on that.
I was lifting weights and something hurt my back. You don't tell people you did it eating pancakes.
That's pathetic.
And you also, and the other difference between a professional hockey player and, oh, I don't know, me, is they have access to full-time world-class medical care at all times. And he should never be in a situation where his back is precariously, in a position that's so precarious that it could go out in an instant like that. He should be, you know, limber and worked and in much better shape.
He went to, you know, the Staples Center to try and get that team to work on him, and they saw him and they said, go home.
Oh, you just got to rest.
So they scratched him because he was eating pancakes. Make up a better story. But what we want is your calls at 1-800-520-1067. We don't want to talk about hockey necessarily, although I would love to all day. We do want to talk about stupid ways you got hurt. Now, it's not that you were making a stupid decision. You were riding a motorcycle and you flew off and you got injured. Like, that makes sense. Eating pancakes, you should never be injured.
If you Google search silly injuries, by the way, a whole list of ways that athletes have injured themselves comes up, including, I guess, one of the most famous, Kevin. You love you watch Arsenal play soccer.
Oh, yeah.
Tony Adams had another player, Steve Morrow, on his shoulders celebrating a cup win when Steve Morrow fell off of his shoulders and dislocated his shoulder. Yep. And it ended up being hurting out for a long time. That's the kind of silly injury that you go, sir, I could no.
There's a lot of those that are famous because they're so absurd. And these guys, like we say, these are athletes. They're in peak condition.
Mm-hmm.
But you don't have to be an athlete. You don't have to be playing sports. You do have to be doing something that in no way should injure you. That's what we're looking for at 1-800-520-1067. Beer mug.
Yeah.
What did you drop on your toe in college?
I dropped a glass Snapple bottle while trying to open a bag of trail mix simultaneously. And it
That's what I like about mugs. He can't open them one by one. He's got to open them both at the same time.
You just see that he's in a frenzy.
Right.
This was on break during class, and I had to leave class. I couldn't go back to class. I had to get stitched up at the doctor's office at school.
Because the bottle of Snapple fell on his toe.
Yeah.
That's the part he forgot to tell you.
Mugs. Yeah.
So ways you should never get hurt. I mean, let's be honest. It's embarrassing. And if you do, you make up a better story than I was eating pancakes. For God's sakes.
Let's talk to Chris real quick on line one to get us going here. 1-800-520-1067. Then we're going to take your calls as well. Chris, thanks a lot for dialing into the Kevin and Bean Show. What happened, dude?
Good morning, guys. Hey, Lisa.
Good morning.
I broke my finger and tore the tendon off the bone.
Oh,
taking off my sweater.
How do you put that much pressure on a finger?
Was it
that
a tight sweater?
No, what happened is instead of just pulling my sweater off, I was at work and I didn't want my undershirt to come up.
Uh-huh.
So I pulled my arm through my sleeves.
Mm-hmm.
And when I pulled my arm through the first sleeve and I went to grab the other sleeve to pull my other arm through, I jammed my finger in my arm, and instead of my whole finger bending, just the tip bent, and it broke my finger and pulled it.
And what did you tell people?
Actually, I just told them the truth.
Oh, bad idea.
Well, I mean, I figured the truth is, you know, the best way to go.
Nope, always lie. Thank you, Chris.
You were wrestling a mountain lion, or you were pushing a baby carriage out of a way of a locomotive? I mean, come on. You dump the sweater story, right?
I'll bet Andy has one that's common. And like Bean says, the problem is once you get, especially lower back pain, the smallest movement can send you to the floor in pain.
Yeah.
Eddie, hi.
What's going on, guys?
What'd you do?
Hi, Eddie.
Well, I was at work, and I had to sneeze.
Sneeze?
And, yeah, once I sneezed, I tore a muscle in my back.
Oh, man.
Just by sneezing. So you sneezed and then fell to the ground and went,
And that was the end of it.
Wow.
I had to, 911 took me to the hospital, x-rayed, found out I had a torn muscle in my back.
What? How long does that take to heal?
That took me around 3 months.
Did somebody else call 911 or did you have to?
No, my coworker did.
I'm sorry, sir. You were what? I was sneezing. I'm sorry. I thought you said you were sneezing. Yeah, I was sneezing. All right. Good work. Good times. 3 months he was out.
That's unbelievable.
He had to work on it.
And by the way, you never forget that, and you have to live in constant fear the rest of your life that something like that could happen again so easily, right?
All right, we're looking for stupid ways you hurt yourself. You're doing things. There's no possible way you should have gotten hurt, but you did. 1-800-520-106.
You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show here on a Wednesday. Eddie Ift joins us next hour. Always hilarious. Looking forward to that. Right now we're talking about crazy ways you hurt yourself. We do this from time to time. It's back in the news because a member of the Los Angeles Kings missed a game because he got hurt eating pancakes. So we're taking your calls at 1-800-520-1067. A couple of emails real quick before we go back to the phones. Lindsay writes in, you know those moving automatic sidewalks in Las Vegas? Yeah, I was cruising on one of those. I leaned over the railing a bit so I could check out the view. Ended up smacking the side of my head against a building support column. Can you totally picture how that happens? You know the setup. You know how those things are set up, right?
I would laugh at that for a half hour.
Ended up with a mild concussion and a huge bleeding gash on the side of my head, says Lindsay. Hello, everyone. Tiffany writes in, I hurt myself cleaning my pantry. There was caramel candy stuck to a shelf. I was using a metal spatula to scrape it out when I cut my finger because the spatula was sharp on the edges. I didn't need stitches, but I was bleeding like crazy. And finally, my girlfriend sneezed and broke two ribs when she was in high school.
Ouch.
And we got one Facebook page. Hey, remember that guy from the Detroit Tigers a couple of years ago who missed a World Series game because he got hurt playing Guitar Hero?
That's right.
These are the kinds of stories that we're looking for. Why don't we start with our man, Paul, here on line one. 1-800-520-1067. Paul, thanks for calling. What happened to you, dude?
Hey, good morning, guys.
Hi.
So what happened was I was 13 years old. This was a long time ago. I was at home, sitting on the couch, cheering for Lakers, playing in the game. Jumped up and dislocated my kneecap.
You jumped up to cheer because something good happened and you dislocated your kneecap?
Yeah, I wasn't doing anything. I wasn't active. I was just sitting on the couch, jumped up for a good play, and my left kneecap popped out, and I ended up on the floor.
This is what's going to tell me what kind of a person you are. Did you just get some ice and sit there and finish the game? Did you call 911 like a pussy?
I was at home by myself with my hard of hearing grandmother, screaming in pain, not sure what to do with it. So she said, "Why don't you try popping it back in?" So I hit it back in.
Really?
Wow!
Even more manly.
I love that the guys who are actually playing the sport on TV didn't get hurt, but the dude watching it on TV did. That's awesome. Thank you very much for the call. All right. We don't have all the time in the world, but look how many great calls we have. Let's take Lisa, line five. This sounds like it might be potentially dangerous and damaging for everyone listening.
Let's try to just tear through some of these. Lisa, hi.
Hi. Good morning, guys.
Hi. What happened to you?
So I fractured my eye socket answering the telephone.
You grabbed the phone and hit yourself in the eye with it?
Yeah, so I grabbed the receiver, pulled back full force, didn't move my head quite quickly enough.
Sweet.
Caught the corner of the receiver in the side of my eye, fractured the eye socket, broke all the blood vessels in my eye, black eye for 3 weeks.
Wow.
How much were you anticipating that phone call?
Right? And then, instantaneously, I didn't feel the pain until I looked around and saw nobody saw, and then all of a sudden the pain set in.
Sure, that's the first thing you do anytime you get hurt is look who's looking.
Yeah.
All right, thank you for the call, Lisa. That sounds terrible. I'm glad.
That's what's amazing, though, is she's answered the phone 1,000 times in her life, and one time without even thinking, without any warning, all of a sudden, hospital.
Now,
crazy.
John was doing something physical, but just barely physical. Hi, John.
Hi.
You were doing what?
I was bowling with my friends, and I ruptured my lung.
You ruptured your lung? How does that even...
The ER was confused by it, too. Nobody really knows what happened.
Just ruptured your lung, huh?
Yeah, well, it was pretty random.
Don't bowl. I think that's the answer that we've come up with. Thank you for the call.
Gloria writes in, talk about a silly injury. I tore my ACL, MCL, and meniscus while dancing to It's Tricky by Run DMC at a club. Not fun.
Awesome. Let's talk to Jessica. Hi, Jessica.
Hi.
How did you injure yourself?
I was playing Monopoly, and I went to, sit up on my knees and move a piece, and I broke and dislocated my toe.
While playing Monopoly?
Yeah.
Do not pass go. Do not collect $200. You got up. Ah!
That must have been so shocking to you that something like that could happen.
It was. I ended up having to have surgery, getting a pin placed in my toe, and having a cast for 6 weeks.
Wow. Unbelievable. Thank you very much for the call.
We have a supremely untalented, unphysical audience.
Yes.
Let's talk to the other Jessica. She's on line three. If you think that I know what you're thinking. Oh, she hurt herself playing Monopoly. There's nothing less high energy than that you could hurt yourself doing. Wrong. Listen to Jessica.
Hey, Jessica.
So I was sleeping.
Sleeping.
Sleeping. I was studying for finals, and I was on the bed, and I was reading a book, and I had my arm over my head, and apparently I was sleeping so dang hard, I rolled over and dislocated my shoulder.
Oh. Ladies and gentlemen, we have a winner. We have a winner.
Sleeping and dislocated your shoulder.
That's unbelievable.
Yeah, the best part is I had to drive myself to the hospital, and I had a sick shift. So I was trying to drive with a dislocated shoulder. Mm. Didn't work out very well, but all good.
But you got there.
I missed class.
All right.
That's unbelievable.
You win.
You do win. You win.
So that's what we're saying is don't sleep.
It's kind of weird all of a sudden to see these stories about your name hitting the news.
Well, I've noticed in the last year or so that every character on TV and in movies and everywhere you look, if the name is Kevin, it's an idiot. I mean, Kevin on The Office, it just goes right down the line. He's always, you know, remember.
Kevin is a great guy. He is not much of an entertainer.
Well, do you ever think about this? A lot of people who are writing TV shows and movies live in Southern California.
How dare you?
It's possible they're driving to work and they're listening to the Kevin and Bean show and they're thinking, oh, that's what the Kevin is all about. That's a great name. I could use that.
I think Kevin is doing exactly as well as anyone might have expected someone like him to perform in a position like that.
Right, exactly.
That's from The Office, too, and it's when he was a complete failure.
And then there's that movie out with Tilda Swinton or David Bowie, one of them, I can't tell which. We've got to talk about Kevin or whatever that's called.
And he's a murderer.
He's a bad Kevin.
Come on.
Listen to this, though. This is fascinating. Two stories out of Germany right now. One is Humboldt University in Germany sent out email messages, dating website email messages with just names, ages, and zip codes, no photos, to 47,000 online dating members. They wanted to find out if certain names are more likely to be clicked on with the same information than others. Dead last, the name was Kevin.
What's
Kevin
up with
is
that?
The fewest number of people. People would rather be alone than meet up with somebody named Kevin. And by the way, the name on the girl's side is Chantel, is the equally unpopular girl's name.
But
right
wait,
now.
There's no photo that went with that?
That's right.
So it's just the name.
If your name is Alexander, you will be clicked on 102% more times than if you're Kevin. All right, that's
Come on
thing
now.
One. Thing two goes even further, and this is also from Germany. This is from the University of Dusseldorf. This quote is in the article. Kevin is not a name. It's a diagnosis.
Of what?
This is a story about teachers who determine, based on the kids' names, how likely they are to be smart. Kevin, once again, ladies and gentlemen, dead last in that category also.
First of all, then, I'm nailing it. Right? I mean, I'm right on.
That's right.
But second of all, what a disappointment. I thought my name was just... I have a lot of things to worry about and be embarrassed about, of course. But I always thought Kevin was just like Bill, Jim, just a boring, average name.
The name
I didn't
Kevin,
realize it was the worst.
The name Kevin was perceived as being linked to especially poor behavior and performance.
Wow.
So we wanted to find out more about this story. We asked producer Dave if he could line us up with somebody at the University of Dusseldorf. And sure enough, Klaus Kaiser joins us on the show right now. Hi, Mr. Kaiser. Thank you for joining us.
Guten Tag, Kevin and Bean. Hi.
Well, I've been better, to be honest, because my name's Kevin. What does that mean?
Kevin, what a horrible name that is.
It didn't seem to me my entire life like it was bad.
You were doomed the day your parents gave you the name Kevin!
I didn't realize that.
Doomed!
Okay, well don't yell at me.
I noticed that there's never been a pope named Kevin. There's never been a president named Kevin or a king named Kevin.
Right,
I guess
take it easy.
No. They avoid all of those, I guess.
Kevin is a death sentence for life.
Why is it... Why isn't it just average, unnoticeable?
Because it is Kevin.
What does your study say?
That is a diagnosis. That isn't a name.
That's a funny joke. But what
is it? It's not a joke. You are doomed to a life of poor behavior and performance.
He's really upset by talking to
us. Yeah, take it easy.
They did a study in Germany of the names that most people would be prejudiced against because of the name.
Okay.
And heaven was number one.
How can number one. Be? How can I be last on the dating pool? And
it was based on teachers and their prejudice against children in their classrooms.
So all Kevins are
and
nightmares.
These teachers, when they were teaching Kevins, could not make them learn anything!
Would you be surprised, Professor, to know that this Kevin that you were talking to graduated from college?
An American college, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
No, that's vegan.
What are you talking about?
In Germany, you would be a street cleaner! Where you belong!
Oh, this is getting ugly now.
This is Germany with traditional German names.
Right, like
Dieter, like Klaus Leopold, Bruno, Maximilian, Reinhard, Rudolf, Siegfried, Johann, Jürgen, Gerhard,
sure.
Ulf, Heinrich.
Those are good names. Those are good names.
Wendel, Adolf. Now that's a name.
Whoa.
Adolf.
Whoa. Oh. Hold it right there.
Oh, Adolf.
Wait, you're saying.
Oh, Deutschland, Deutschland.
No. Kevin be more toxic than Adolf at this point? Come on. That doesn't even make any sense to me, Professor.
At least Adolf could get things done.
Okay. Oh, all right. Man. Well, on that note,
I never heard Adolf say, oh, I'm a longtime fan. Nazi Germany. Never heard him say that.
All right. Great.
He could use a sentence.
Thank you for talking to me.
Hey, party people. Kevin and Bean are taking a little vacation. We're doing the best of. However, Showbiz Beat is still fresh. Right out of the oven for your enjoyment.
It's in the oven?
No, it's not in the oven. It's out of the oven now. Okay. It's freshly out of the oven. I wanted to give you a heads up also today. Can I get some sound effects over here? Can
oh, yeah, my bad. Beer mug.
You know what? By the end of the week, I think all the wrinkles will be ironed out of this particular section of the program. I want to give you a heads up. If you want to check out the brand new K-Rock sticker, and I think you should, why not go see Psycho Mike, my buddy Psycho Mike, today from noon to 2 at the Del Taco in Northridge. At Corbin and Nordoff. Go see Mike between noon and 2. Score tickets to the X Games, Rise Against, Foster the People, Hootenanny. We've got K-Rock music, other cool prizes as well. All the details are at krock.com. But go see Mike and let him know that he's loved. He's going to be lonely there at the Del Taco all by himself. Yeah, and mention he looks fat. Watch him drop to the ground, start doing push-ups immediately in panic. It's a lot of fun. Let's take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office, seeing that it is Monday morning. Brave! Big surprise over the weekend. Disney's new animated picture rolled over Madagascar 3 to make it number one for the weekend. $66.7 million made it so. Madagascar 3, Europe's most wanted, came in at number two with $20 million. Then Abraham Lincoln, Vampire Hunter, about $16.5 million, made it number three in its debut weekend. Prometheus was number four. Then Rock of Ages rounded out the top five at the box office over the weekend. Snow White and the Huntsman, That's My Boy, The Avengers, Men in Black 3, Seeking a Friend for the End of the World, the new Steve Carell movie. In its debut weekend, only made $3.8 million. Good enough to make it number 10 on the list this weekend. Well, a lot of people talking about Justin Bieber's appearance on the David Letterman show, saying that Dave gave him a hard time. Dave was too mean to the Biebs, to which I say, if Bieber walked off that set alive, he wasn't mean enough to him. He showed up last Thursday, and he had a new tattoo on his arm. In big block letters, it said Believe, which just happens to be the name of his brand new album. No self-promoting there. Letterman gave him a hard time about the tattoo, telling him not to get any more. And Bieber said, well, it might be my last one. He said, no, make sure it is, because it doesn't look good on you. And while they were talking about tattoos, Letterman was just begging him not to get sleeved. He didn't like that whole entire canvas of your body look when you have all that art done. And the conversation led to the Sistine Chapel and the ceiling of that chapel. And here's kind of what happened.
But do me a favor. Don't go nuts. You know what I mean?
No, I won't.
Because more and more you see like the mural and the Sistine Chapel on a, you know, it's too much.
I'm not going for the Sistine Chapel. Look.
The 16th Chapel, he thinks it's called. The 16th Chapel. Letterman ended with, Canadian high school. That's all he said. So take that for what it's worth. A bunch of musicians will be getting their stars on the Hollywood Walk of Fame in 2013. They've just announced the list of people who will be getting them. I'll tell you, this the release of this list is so much less stressful for me now that Adam West already has his. I don't need to look at it every year. Here's the people who are getting their stars. Backstreet Boys. Yeah. Jane's Addiction. New Kids on the Block. Yeah.
Listen, stop calling yourself boys and kids,
by
the way.
Come on. N-K-O-B-T-B-B-B. S-K. Janis Joplin, Usher, Thalia, and Luther Vandross. All set to be honored with their stars. So, congratulations to that gang. And while we're talking about music, the Black Keys are not too pleased that Pizza Hut and Home Depot have been using their songs in their commercials. Here's the thing. You have to get permission from the artist first to do something like that. Black Keys says that neither Pizza Hut nor Home Depot got their permission before using Gold on the Ceiling and Lonely Boy in recent commercials, and they're not okay with it. Black Keys are asking for more than $75,000 for each song and a court order that would prevent the use of the songs in commercials for Pizza Hut and Home Depot again. Both tracks are on the band's most recent album, El Camino. I think it's that's cheap. $75,000 per song. They should sue for a lot more.
Yeah. I'm surprised they were awake to notice.
How dare you, sir? They're a spunky, hearty bunch. Tom Brady has had almost as many hairstyles as his wife, Gisele Bündchen. But he suggests that other guys should follow in his fashion-forward footsteps. He tells Sports Illustrated that ladies like confident men who do what they want. And he said when he let his hair grow long, that was him showing off his confidence.
Really?
He's confident enough to be a lady. He says Gisele Bündchen liked the hair. Yeah, that's why you did it, because she told you to. Like you do everything, Tommy boy. And Nadia Sulman.
Guilty!
She's not charged with anything, Omar. She has got her feelings hurt. Apparently, the Octomom's manager, Gina Rodriguez, tells TMZ that employees working a Virgin American flight from Los Angeles to New York made them change seats, refused to give them beverages, laughed at them, and kicked her out of the bathroom. I have no idea why they would pick on Nadia Sulman and her manager. Oh, wait, yeah, I do. Because they're douchebags.
Yep.
Word is the mom of 14 was so fed up that she filed a report and vowed never to fly Virgin America Airlines again. How funny that a woman who has 14 children would fly Virgin America. Seems like an inappropriate airline. And Mel Gibson is getting his mojo back. The actor has popped up in a few different places recently. He lifted Maria Menounos off her feet at her birthday party last week. I don't know why he would do that. Maybe he was checking for a wire. Maybe she thought she was recording him. Photographer TMZ spotted him kissing an unidentified brunette at his beach house in Santa Monica, California over the weekend. But seems like Mel's getting back into the swing of things. And Arnold Schwarzenegger in the news, looking gruff, gray, and buff. The former governor of California and movie star is now sporting a beard. For some reason, Arnold is growing a beard. And it's gray, and he looks like a really buff Santa Claus. You can see the pictures of him at the Robert Kennedy Celebration for Life event. You can see him sporting his
maybe
beard.
That's his next movie, Buff Santa Claus.
I'm going to carry all of the children's presents on my back. I don't need no sleigh no more. I don't need no more flying reindeer.
Oh, man,
I just get
awesome
a bag
movie.
And I just take my shirt off and I put all the gifts on my back.
I'd watch that.
I would too. Kicks Tim Allen's ass.
Yep.
Today's celebrity birthday is actor comedian Jimmy J.J. Walker, 65 years old today. Actor Ricky Gervais is 51. George Michael, 49 years old today. How's George going to celebrate? I would check all the restrooms in the in the public parks in Beverly Hills. Candyman's 44 years old. Sixpence None the Richer guitarist Sean Kelly turns 41, as does Angela Kinsey of The Office. Mike Kroger of Nickelback is 40 years old today. Linda Cardellini and Busy Phillips, who are castmates from Freaks and Geeks and ER, both celebrate birthdays today. Linda is 37 and Busy is 33. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
TV show is called Parenthood. Tuesday nights on NBC, we'll talk to actress Monica Potter. She plays Christina, don't you know, with the kid with the Asperger's, by the way. That's her character. She's got to deal with the kid with the Asperger's.
Oh, you guys have a lot in common.
Anyway, we'll talk to her coming up in a few minutes on The Kevin and Bean Show. Jared and Brandy from Storage Wars next hour. Ralph's got the showbiz beat, too. First, though, how about this Kardashians magazine? Is that a thing that we need? Is that a thing that the world would be a better place if it exists?
According to the article, it might be as soon as this spring.
Really?
So in the next couple of months, you might see a Kardashians magazine. Now, what would be in it? I don't know. But they apparently made a deal with American Media, which also puts out Star, The National Enquirer, Shape, and Playboy. So it's a pretty reputable magazine, you know.
Well, they just have to put them on the front and have some pictures of them inside, and then other people probably do everything,
but
right?
But you know that the mom, Chris, she'll have her own column.
I'm sure that's
about
true.
About how great she is and how great her kids
I'm sure
are.
She'll be quote unquote editor.
Yeah,
but who's out there, Lisa, with as much Kardashians as is already in your face? Who's out there going, I need more? I have many more questions, and I want to learn more about this family. I just can't imagine there's that much of an audience.
All
for
the people that watch the show.
Really?
If you watch the show, you're into it.
Really? But you would think they would want more than that even?
Yes. Like, how do they get their makeup like that? And where do they get their clothes? And
I want you all to die.
Those wonderful relationships.
We asked producer Dave if he could hook us up with someone to talk about the new magazine. And believe it or not, we have Khloe. Khloe Kardashian joins us on the phone on the Kevin and Bean Show right now. She would certainly know. She's got to be part of this. Hi, Khloe.
Mario, who's this, man?
Oh, Lamar. I'm sorry. We were holding for your wife. We're looking for Khloe Kardashian.
Yes. Yeah, this is Lamar, man.
Yeah. Right. Sorry, Lamar. I apologize.
It's Kevin and Bean back in Los Angeles.
Los Angeles? Yes. I left Los Angeles,
I'm sorry about
that. I'm in Dallas now.
Yeah.
No, I know.
Now I got to wake up and talk to Cactus in the belt buckle. I talked to the lizard in the holster.
Never ends for you, does it? That's tough, man.
Got a horn and the puma.
Why are you barely able to score with Dallas, by the way? Don't you get like 4 points a night? What's happening, Lamar?
I'm still learning the system, man.
I see.
That's what it is. Okay.
Apparently, in Dallas, they want to put the ball in the hoop.
That's right.
Oh, I see.
It's a weird system.
That is a weird system.
I understand. All right. Well, we'll let you get back to your nap or whatever you're doing. Do you mind if we speak with your wife real quick?
All right. Okay. Chloe, I'm going to talk to you all the time.
What?
Chloe, I'm going to California to talk to you all the time.
Oh, here she comes. Here comes our delicate princess, Khloe Kardashian.
Hi, Ryan. Hi, Ellen. How are you?
Nope. Still Kevin
Hi,
and Bean,
big
Chloe.
Boy.
Nope.
Hi,
still.
Carson.
Nope. Kevin and Bean. Kevin
Hi,
and Bean.
Cactus and Belt Buckle.
Nope. Kevin and Bean, your
Hi,
old friends.
In the holster.
Your old friends from Los Angeles,
Hi,
Chloe.
Horn and the Puma.
How are you enjoying Texas?
Oh, it's you.
Yeah, it's us. Sorry.
It's fine. It's a magical place. Dallas is so cosmopolitan.
Is it?
Is it?
It is if you drink enough Cosmopolitan.
Oh, I see.
Yeah. I got you. Huh. Well, how are you being received there? I mean, you're kind of part. Your family's kind of part of the fabric of Los Angeles now. But in Dallas, I mean, you're a little bit of an oddball over there, right?
No, they're used to large animals in Dallas.
True.
They've got horses and rodeos and bison and things.
Right.
So
they're
taking me in as well if I'm one of their own.
That's nice.
Oh, good.
Yes.
That's nice. Yeah.
I just don't go out during hunting season.
That's probably.
I think
smart.
That's wise. Wear that orange vest if you do, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Now, listen, we were reading a report here in Los Angeles about the Kardashian magazine.
Yes, how about that?
And we were concerned about your participation.
K-Mag.
K-Mag.
Calling it K-Mag.
Okay.
The K-Mag.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be great. It's going to be filled with recipes and makeup tips and relationship advice and bizarre science experiments.
What?
That fuse human DNA with Yeti DNA.
What are you talking about, Chloe?
This is my column.
Oh, I see.
Yes.
Okay.
How to breed new species of giant Amazon women.
I see.
Yes.
Okay. And it's going to be out this spring.
That's right.
That seems like you're going to have to move pretty quickly.
No, not at all. We've got Courtney drawing them as we speak.
Drawing them?
She's cranking them out with crayon.
Okay.
Crayon and construction paper. It's going to be a very personal magazine.
Sounds like it. I'm surprised there aren't little Korean kids or something, you know, that are already making your clothes that you can't enlist to do the magazine for you as well.
How dare you? How dare you suggest that? First of all, they don't speak English.
Right.
They just know how to run sewing machines.
I see.
They're
I
not
see.
Much
okay.
use in the magazine department.
Okay.
Do you know any poor English kids we could buy?
not for what you're paying them.
I
miss slavery.
Okay. You might not want to say that. Your husband's not around, is he?
I don't mean black people. I just mean when you could enslave anybody.
Just slavery.
Okay. Just, you know, people with money could buy people who were poor.
No, we're
times
moving
were
past
better
that.
Then.
No, that's not good.
The good old
we're
days.
We're way past that.
Oh, whipping a poor guy. Okay. How I long for it.
Okay. Listen, we're going to let you go before you hang yourself even more here. But
okay,
don't
cactus,
talk like
bye, belt buckle.
Okay, bye. It's the world-famous K-Rock 106.7 KROQ, and this is the Kevin and Bean Show.
Hey, it's time for an all-new Bean's Death Corner.
Hey, everybody, gather all the kiddies around the radio. It's time for Bean's Death Corner.
Bean loves death any time of day. He gets all giddy and screams hooray.
There's something wrong in his head.
Death.
We don't know what's wrong with Bean, but now you'll get to see what we mean.
Oh, Bean loves death. Oh, Bean loves death.
I love death.
He really does love when humans die.
Yes, he does.
I've never understood that. It's not like anybody I've ever met, but boy, does he get a charge out of it.
I think it's because deep down, and I'll have to talk to my psychiatrist about this, deep down, I'm so terrified of dying that in some way it makes me happy when it's somebody else's turn and they haven't come for me yet. I think that's what's going on here. I'm very excited about some of the stories we have today. Kevin, are you familiar with a pumping party? Have you been to a pumping party? Does that sound like something you might like?
Yes, but I can't talk about it on the air.
Well, it's not that kind. It's sort of that kind of pumping, actually. This is a woman named Cassia Rivera, delightful woman, who is pretending to be a doctor. She charges men, or did, used to, before she ended up in jail for killing one of them. Ooh. She charges men big money to come to her apartment in New Jersey where she injects silicone into their penises to make them bigger.
Oh, my God.
You know, a lot of guys, you know, certainly not me since I was about 8, but a lot of guys, they're always looking for ways to increase the size a little bit. So, you know, you see an ad in the, you know, the back of the paper or something. You go, hey, I'll try that out. Well, the man, 22-year-old named Justin Street, shows up at her apartment. He gets the procedure done, somehow develops a clot in his lungs, and he dies the next day. That is story number one. Here's a bizarre story, even made more bizarre by the fact that we have listeners of the podcast here on the Kevin and Bean Show in Fort Collins, Colorado, who were at this movie theater that hit the news yesterday after a 66-year-old man was found dead in the restroom at the movie theater.
Wow.
He had been there, ladies and gentlemen, for 5 days.
In one of the stalls?
Do they not clean those stalls?
Do they not clean those stalls?
That's what everybody's wanting to know.
Oh,
5 days.
God.
His family had reported him missing. 3 days later, the police found his car outside the movie theater. And then 2 days after that, they found his body in the restroom. Doesn't it seem like every movie theater you've ever gone to, they've had that little checklist on the back of the door that says, you know, if this restroom needs attention, please let someone on our staff know.
But there was never a check for bodies. That was never on there.
There wasn't. I mean, I just, it's a terrible, tragic story. And as I say on the post at KROQ.com, what was the last thing that dude, I mean, was he seeing Alvin and the Chipmunks and he just, that was it? He was just, he wanted to check out. What happened?
Yeah. He probably died in Gliss, though, because it was probably the biggest of his life. You know what I mean?
If that's what killed him. Oh, I see what you're saying. Yeah.
If that's what killed him, he must have just gone, wow.
Maybe you're right, Kevin.
Good way to go.
They're going to have to put some new procedures in place at that movie theater, though, and maybe check in the stalls a little more frequently.
Yeah.
Here's a just a quick couple of lines story because I'm sad because she was a 25-year-old veterinarian from Australia on vacation in Malaysia. Kevin, you went to Africa. You got a chance to get up close and personal with some of these animals. How much did the guides there stress, hey, we think we know what we're doing, but anything can go haywire at any time?
It wasn't that tentative. They knew what they were doing, and they were fine. They were confident.
Mm-hmm.
But we went with a top-rate place, you know, because we saved up and saved up. And there's a lot of, like, half-hearted.
It's not where you want to do that,
you don't
right?
skip there.
Yeah,
don't skip on protection from wildlife.
No.
She got within 30 feet of a pygmy elephant, which, by the way, is about 5 feet tall, looks super cute. You would think that would be fairly safe, right?
I didn't know they had midget elephants.
Pygmy elephants
pygmy
is what they're
elephants?
Called.
That's
which is
awesome.
It's a subspecies of the African elephant. But yeah, they couldn't be more adorable. And by the way, it's not like she went up and grabbed its trunk. She was 30 feet away when the little guy decided that he was going to charge her and kill her. And that's how she died.
Oh, man.
Elephant plus human equals elephant is the one thing we've learned. Here's another bizarre story that also involves Australians. You're listening to an all-new Bean's Death Corner here on the Kevin and Bean Show today. This is a very strange story. They are best friends. They are driving home from a party in the early morning hours in separate cars. She's ahead of him. She loses control of her car. They're still investigating what happened to her. Hits a power pole and dies.
Oh,
terrible,
no.
Tragic story, right? 19 years old. I hate to see this happen. He, driving a little bit behind her, sees the accident, pulls over, jumps out of his car, runs over to try to save her. In doing so, steps on the power line from the power pole that she has knocked down with her car and is instantly electrocuted. Now they're both dead. Another passing motorist comes along a few minutes later and finds both bodies.
Oh,
best friends coming home from the same party, killed in separate accidents. Isn't that bizarre?
So sad.
And finally, because I knew that one would leave you sad, this one is going to cheer you up. This was one of the greatest headlines I've ever seen. Man eats cocaine from brother's butt and dies.
Whoa! Whoa, whoa, whoa.
This is two brothers in South Carolina. They are arrested under suspicion of having drugs and booked into jail. 23-year-old older brother, D'Angelo Mitchell, says to his little brother, Wayne, hey, I got a bag of cocaine in my butt, so would you eat that for me so it's not discovered so that, you know, we can get away, won't get charged with that, too? So Wayne, being a dutiful sibling, eats the cocaine, and of course it kills him because, you know why? He just ate an ounce of cocaine.
Yeah.
So now D'Angelo has involuntary manslaughter charges on top of his drug charges to worry about. But, I mean, look.
Wouldn't you love to hear that testimony in court? Okay, so let's go through the timeline. You put it up your butt. That's right. That's all I need to hear.
And look, I don't care how much you love your brother. I don't care how much you're trying to do what's right for your family or help him out or something like that. If your brother says, hey, eat these drugs out of my ass, go ahead and feel free to say no.
You're on your own on that one.
This has been an all-new Bean's Death Corner.
That was Bean's Death Corner.
Oh, Bean loves death. Oh, Bean loves death.
Oh, Bean loves death so much.
Happy Monday morning, party people. It is 7:44 here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Kevin and Bean are taking a little vacation. You're listening to the best of. However, your old buddy Ralph is still here on the radio doing the showbiz beat. Before I get to the showbiz news, I'd like to give you a chance to win some tickets to the very cool 18th annual Hootenanny.
Woo!
Hootenanny this year is July 7th at Oak Canyon Ranch in Irvine, California. Great band lineup. Rancid will be featured. Reverend Horton Heat, Bouncing Souls, and many more. If you would like to go to the 18th annual Hootenanny, and who wouldn't, quite frankly, call right now, 1-800-520-1067. First five people who get through on that particular phone number will win a pair of tickets to the 18th annual Hootenanny. It is Monday morning. That means we take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office. Number one, Brave, the new Disney animated feature, rolled over the competition, $66.7 million this weekend, making it number one by far. Madagascar 3, Europe's Most Wanted, was second at the box office, $20.2 million. Abraham Lincoln's Vampire Hunter. It's not Abraham Lincoln's Vampire Hunter. It is Abraham Lincoln Vampire Hunter. The debut weekend was $16.5 million, made it number three. Prometheus was fourth. Rock of Ages rounded out the top five, then Snow White and the Huntsman, That's My Boy, The Avengers, Men in Black 3, and Seeking a Friend for the End of the World, the new Steve Carell comedy, debuted with $3.8 million in box office ticket sales. That made it number 10 this weekend at the box office. Hard to believe, but today marks the third anniversary of the death of Michael Jackson. It's an event that had an impact across the globe. Quite the event in people's lives, if you remember where you were when you heard the news. I know I do. 3 years ago, Conrad Murray's still in jail. Come on, what's it going to take to convict him and give him some propofol? Put him to nap. Alex Trebek suffered a heart attack. What is myocardial infarction? That's correct, Alex. He suffered a mild heart attack Saturday and was rushed to Cedars-Sinai Hospital in Los Angeles, where he's still recovering. Spokesperson for Alex said that the 71-year-old host of Jeopardy is expected to make a full recovery, and he should be ready to resume his hosting duties when they start filming shortly. Yeah, well, he just reads cards, so I think he should be up for that, unless he's a lot weaker than we all thought. CeeLo is one of the judges over there on The Voice, hosted by our buddy Carson Daly. He is taking some serious heat from some animal rights activists because he has announced he is going to do the show, the upcoming season of the show, with his cockatoo out. That's a bird. He's got a rare Moluccan cockatoo as a pet named Lady. And he wants to have Lady with him on the set while he is filming The Voice. Now, some bird activists, yes, there's such a thing as bird activists, are upset because cockatoos are endangered and they're known to be extremely high strung. Here is the release statement from a bird activist. Moluccan cockatoos are beautiful, intelligent animals, but they are very challenging to care for, especially in the long term, and are prone to considerable welfare problems. Yes, you don't want a cockatoo on welfare, my friends, because that's what is wrong with the system right there.
Will it help him reach his button on The Voice?
It will. The bird will fly over and hit the button because he has incredibly tiny arms and cannot reach the button himself. Now, here's the thing. Apparently, the cockatoos get very stressed out, and then they start to self-mutilate. They're like Selena Gomez. No. Who was the one? Who was the cutter?
I think it was.
Was it her?
Demi Lovato.
Demi Lovato. That's it. Yeah. Apparently, they pull out their own feathers and whatnot. So people are concerned that the set of a TV series may not be the most relaxing place for a cockatoo. And I think they may have a point. Free the cockatoo. So I say, let your cockatoos run free, people. Kings of Leon frontman Caleb Followill is a proud daddy. Welcomed a baby girl into this world with his wife, Victoria's Secret model Lily Aldridge. Happened Thursday morning at a hospital in Nashville. Her name, Dixie Pearl. Dixie Pearl Followill. This is their first child. Caleb and Lily got married in May of 2011. So congratulations to the new parents. And while we're talking about new parents, Snooki. Snooki had a scare last week. She was walking around on giant platform sandals, and she took a tumble. She fell, and you know she's ready to pop. So people were concerned for her unborn child, but apparently she was okay. She told the press that she plans to continue to wear heels throughout her pregnancy because, in her quote, "I'm 24, not 50." Yeah, that's a great idea. Keep wearing those heels until you fall on that beach ball of a stomach of yours, and the baby goes shooting across the highway. Fool. Blake Lively, congratulations. She's got a new gig. She's going to be the face of Gucci. Gucci's new woman's fragrance premiere. She'll appear in ads that come out next month. Blake has a unique style, says the creative director of Gucci, and brings charisma and allure and glamour to a life in a very contemporary way. So Blake Lively's face will be the face of Gucci's new fragrance premiere. I like Blake Lively's face. I would like to entertain different ideas. This is insane. I didn't even know this was a thing. But apparently there is a superhuman woman in England. She's got a superpower. She's like a mutant. She's like one of the X-Men. It's not a really good power, but it's mutant nonetheless. She can see 99 million more colors than everyone else. Huh. She can see unimaginable range and depth of hues, according to scientists. She is what is called a tetrachromat. And apparently she has four different types of cones, which are eye cells that human vision is based on. Most people just have three types. She's got four types. Allows her to see 99 million more colors than everyone else. She is superhuman. Again, as I mentioned, not a great power. Not really handy when it comes to fighting crime. But if you are redecorating, she is the woman you want to take to the paint store. Because she can see all kinds of colors that you can't. She's super color woman.
Do the Avengers need a decorator?
I don't think so. I don't think she's going to be there working on the Avengers mansion anytime soon. But still, what a weird, cool power to have, even though it's entirely useless. And speaking of entirely useless, Justin Bieber was on Letterman last week with his new tattoo. He's got Believe tattooed on his forearm. Just happens to be the name of his new album. Letterman noticed it, started giving him a hard time about his tattoo, imploring him not to get tattoos all over his body, not to use his body as a canvas, when Bieber admitted he had a couple of them. Things got weird, though, when Letterman brought up the example of the Sistine Chapel ceiling as something that had been covered over, perhaps too densely, with art. I don't think Bieber knows what that is.
But do me a favor, don't go nuts. You know what I mean?
No, I won't.
Because more and more you see, like, the mural and the Sistine Chapel on a, you know, it's just... It's too much.
I'm not going for the 16th chapel. Look.
Yeah. Canadian High School.
Canadian High School. The 16th chapel.
No, he wants to be more like the 14th or 15th chapel.
Today's celebrity birthdays, Jimmy J.J. Walker. Dynamite!
He's 65 years old today. Ricky Gervais is 51. George Michael turns 49. The rapper Candyman celebrates his 44th birthday. Guitarist for Sixpence None the Richer, Sean Kelly, is 41 years old. Angela Kinsey from The Office is 41 as well. Mike Kroger, he's the bassist for Nickelback. Chip, you're a bassist. Do you admire Mike Kroger's work?
Snore.
Oh, okay. Linda Cardinelli from ER and Scooby-Doo. She's 37 years old today. And actress Busy Phillips from Dawson's Creek and Freaks and Geeks. Cougartown, 33 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Funny man Rob Delaney joins us next half hour here on the Kevin Bean Show. Ralph's got the showbiz beat coming up here, too, on the world-famous K-Rock. First, let's talk Storage Wars.
When storage units are abandoned, the treasures within...
This is do or die.
...are put up for auction.
400.
Five.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
So... Oh, we love this show so much. Tuesday nights at 10 and 10:30 on A&E, the villain of the piece. Is that overstating it, Ralph, or is Dave Hester the bad man on the show?
Dave's the bad guy. There's no way around it.
All right. He is the bad guy, and he joins us on the Kevin Bean Show right now. Follow Dave on at Dave the Mogul. Mr. Hester, welcome to the show, sir.
Yeah.
There he is.
Wait a minute. Your name on Twitter is Dave the Mogul?
Yeah.
We promise. He's the storage warrior. He's the big Mahop.
Sure.
Right. He's the storage warrior. By the way, this really is the real Dave Hester on the phone. People think it's Ralph doing the wacky yup bit, but no. In fact, Dave is actually here.
Yeah.
Now, Ralph, as Dave has been tweeting over the last 24 hours, he has been anticipating this interview because he knows that you have it out in particular for him as a longtime Storage Wars fan. So what's the problem? How can we bring you two kids together?
What's the beef? Dave, I just don't understand why you behave the...
Right, let me just cut in here and say, is that all you're going to say?
You must be Daryl's fan.
I'm not a Daryl fan. I'm not necessarily even against you because I think you're very good at what you do, obviously. And I enjoy Daryl, and I like Barry on the show, and Brandy and Jared. I like all the people who do what you do. But it seems like you go out of your way to really be, for lack of a better word, a dick to these people, Dave.
Well, you know, the reality of this business is it's a no-friends business. It's almost like a poker tournament, you know. Yeah, you have respect for some of the people, but ultimately, if the big guys fall out, that just makes your day. And at the end, you want to be the last man standing.
But it seems to me that with your money and the way that you bid, you could take these units just as well without being so...
What does he do that...
...aggressive and sort of agitating about it?
Well, you know, if you go anywhere in America, there's going to be people like me in this business. You got cliques, you got beginners, you got heavy hitters, you got guys that have paid their dues. And the name of this game is to eliminate any competition, get rid of your new guys, don't let the middle section guys grow, and you know, keep your strength amongst yourself. You know.
So this is psychological warfare on your behalf. You really like to get under their skin.
Oh, big time. You want them flustered. You want them pissed off. You want them not thinking right. You want them making mistakes. You want them losing money.
Now, they probably wouldn't do it because they hate you. But are you the kind of guy who, if it's not a competitive situation for work, you could then, you know, turn it off and go to a bar and you could be friends with these people?
Well, not really, because I don't care for a lot of them personally. Some of them I can.
Is there anybody in the show you do sort of like, you know, outside of the competitive field that you could get along with?
Oh, sure. I mean, you know, Dan and Laura, the salt of the earth, are just great people. I've known them for 25 years. Barry is respect for guys like that. And Brandy and Jared, I think that they just lack a lot of education and they've got a long ways to go. And they're a little bit cocky for where they're at in this time of their career.
Now, on last night's show, you showed up with a fleet of your Dave Hester auction trucks. What was the mentality behind that? What was the reason?
Intimidation.
That's what I thought.
And it worked out perfect. Daryl came up with that cocky attitude to send me home empty, and I ended up making a good profit on those motorcycles, and he ended up losing his ass.
There's a clip from that where you show up with the trucks.
That just happened right now?
That's called a little penis.
I brought my whole fleet as a show of strength. Yeah, I'm making a statement. Amateurs, go home or lose your money.
It would be nice for him to drive away with those trucks empty. That would be the ultimate.
Yeah, it didn't happen, apparently.
I'll take to your credit, Dave, you don't care what people think about you when you show up to do your job. That's for sure.
Not at all. They don't pay my bills, and I'm not concerned about what they have to say.
How do people on the street treat you that watch the show?
You know what? I mean, honestly, through the internet and stuff, I get a lot of death threats, assault threats.
Jeez.
People want to burn my buildings down. They want to knock my teeth out. But I've never met anybody on the street that has been rude to me in regards to this show.
Yeah, people get very brave behind the anonymity of the internet. But in person, you're right. They're cowards. This is the voice of Dave Hester from Storage Wars on A&E Tuesday nights here on the Kevin and Bean Show. He's the yup guy. Let's talk about YUUP. Where did that come from, Dave? And how have you turned that into another moneymaker for you?
Well, it's actually three U's. It's YUUUP. And that's just a strategy of bidding that I've used forever. Before the show, I'm a licensed auctioneer and have been for 20 years. And I've started out as a bid caller for big auction houses. And, you know, basically what happens is an auctioneer is up on the auction block. You may have 500 people in your audience and it's loud. So you want the auctioneer to hear you. So as you recognize the bid, you just go, yep. And that kind of turned into my bidding strategy years ago. And it caught on the TV.
Yeah, now it certainly is a catchphrase. What's going on with the store, your consignment store and your auction house? I mean, how's business these days?
Well, right now we're getting ready to expand into a big 50,000-square-foot building in Orange County. So we're in the process of remodeling and relocating right now and kind of off, we're in between filming.
Right.
And right now I'm just working on some educational products that will be coming out so that I can teach the entire country and the world how to access information in regards to auctions and teach them the business.
You're not going to help people beat you at this.
You want people out of the business. You don't want people in the business.
Well, originally when I got into this business, I wanted to educate and teach people my life story and teach them how this business is done. And we've kind of already, stepped on our feet as far as opening the door and showing our secrets. So now it's time to actually educate the entire country and get them out there to make a living. And, we're some of the hardest working people out there. A lot of people want to be dogmatic and say, hey, you guys are taking advantage of people in their worst time of their lives. And people have to understand these storage auctions have been taking place since the 1960s. We're no, they're no different than Bank of America. If you don't pay your mortgage, they sell your house. You don't make your car payment, your car gets sold. You don't pay your storage, your stuff gets sold. But this is honest, hardworking people that come out 7 days a week. We're not on unemployment. We're not on welfare. We're out there trying to make an honest living. And if people want to do that, they should be able to do that and have the right education to do it.
Honest, hardworking people, which you are a dick to. Is that correct?
Exactly. With that said, you still have to, when you walk in the gates, it's business. So then, now you meet the lion.
Yeah.
Dave, there's been some rumors that you may not be on the next season, that the contracts are still under negotiation. Is that true?
Well, I can't really comment on that.
Oh, all right. Well,
how do you think it would be without me?
It wouldn't be nearly as fun, that's for sure. You are
that
the man we
true.
Love to hate while we watch it.
That is true. And, Ralph, since we're out of time, do you have new respect for Mr. Hester now that we've had a chance to talk to him and hear from his own mouth what's going on?
Nope.
Thanks, Dave. Storage Wars airs Tuesday nights at A&E. Hi, Omar.
Hey. What's happening? Hello.
Where'd your new inspiration come from? Omar came in so happy earlier in the week. He's like, Bean, I got something I think you're going to like. I'm like, yeah, what's up?
I can't take all the credit. Dave, the King of Mexico, actually came up with the idea. He came up with one line, and I was like, oh, that's magic, and I came up with the rest. And
Why did you feel, look, I was going to ask the question, why did you feel it is necessary to create another new tribute to our man Kevin? But I guess it's because it's easy when Kevin delivers the way he does every single day to take it for granted. It's like, you look at Kobe Bryant. You look at Kobe Bryant, he goes out there every single night and he blows your mind.
Absolutely.
And sometimes you don't give him the credit for that because he's just that good. That's just what he does. But occasionally, you need to stop the presses and go, hey, let's all be aware of the history that we're watching here.
Exactly. This is a little tribute. It's more like a highlight reel.
But the difference is that I go out and put up air balls every night.
But consistently, though, so that's the thing.
So why is it that we need a tribute to that?
Because I love you.
You don't love me.
And the people love you.
You don't love me. The people don't love me.
It's nothing but love, man.
And I also think, much like you have the Zsa Zsa Gabor obituary package ready to go for whatever that day comes, I feel like we don't want to be caught empty-handed when, you know, that day you don't show up for real and for good. I feel like we're going to need to have something to play so people can remember you by.
I see.
Excellent point.
So I guess it was Dave's idea. So he came to Omar
Stupid
and he said,
"Stupid Dave.
Yeah.
How about that new Wiz Khalifa, Snoop Dogg, and Bruno Mars song that is getting so much airplay right now? I'm sure you guys have heard this song, but here's a hook of it just to remind you which one we're talking about.
So what, we get drunk. So what, we smoke weed. We're just having fun. We don't care who sees."
Yeah, great song. So yeah, awesome Omar song. Has taken that and he has used that as the basis for this brand new tribute to Kevin. What's this called, Omar? Does this even have a name?
Let's call it Kevin's Drunkie.
Okay. Hit it, Steve.
So what, he sounds drunk. So what, he can't speak. Maybe he's dumb. He's special needs. What's he talking about?
You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show on the world famous K-Rock, 106.7 KROQ. We got a special guest to talk to about it. It's like you catch a fish in a lake and you put it out on the ground and just like flops around on the ground completely. It's like a fish out of water is what it's like.
Now, he's not going to want to spend much time with all those other boys in their room come pretty here a couple years. We've got to get to the bottom of what in the hell is going on with this Blue Man group. These guys, they paint their faces red.
Monday morning, we have an all-new Kevin and Bean Show.
And how often have you used it?
Did you know that going into when you started on the second office, when you were on the outside office, not the one, main one?
Where is you?
So what, he sounds drunk. So what, he can't speak.
How dare you.
Maybe he's dumb. He's special needs. What's he talking about? Man, he sounds crappy. Kevin's a big-headed drunkie.
When you roast E-Fiesta to about 200...
2007. Oh my God!
I saw him as a com. What do you call
it? I don't.
Guy that does color commentary.
By the way, just for the movie theaters, all site, all do not. There's no all. There's not. It's not a hard one, but if you heard it,
but it is the way you heard it.
Is that so? He doesn't. Are you a regular duck fan? You watch all the time him?
Yeah. Not even an accident. I mean, it's not even his. You don't do it on purpose. You also don't make accidents. You have to do it, like they say.
Yes, and you see these sites you never knew existed, but they're right up here. And it just did, hours.
What?
Hours.
But the photo shoot didn't look good.
So what, he sounds wrong.
Come on.
So what, he can speak.
You edited that.
Maybe he's dumb. Oh, he's special needs. What's he talking about? Man, he sounds crappy. Kevin's a big-headed drunkie.
Now that's par for the cake. For the
course. It's not over.
I got money. That's a toss-up.
You need
disadvantage in this story.
When good men fail to stand up, bad triumphs or whatever that is.
We need an update for when the book comes out on DVD.
What did you do?
Are you here to protect us? Not hot?
That song is over, and now we will speak. It's the Kevin and Beecher on the world famous K-Rock.
I need to do the Dave plan next time.
I need to do the Dave plan next time.
I'm not drunk.
We owe every one of you that listens to the show a great debt of gratitude.
I don't think that's what I meant to say.
So what, he sounds drunk. So what, he can't speak.
Come on.
Maybe he's dumb. He's special needs. What's he talking about? Man, he sounds crappy.
Gino. Good morning.
What?
I don't know what this is.
This is Sean Connery. Talking about curling.
Sorry. Omar is literally... Omar is literally running around the studio.
You know, my biggest problem with that is because, like, a lot of times when we do these songs, we got to keep them about a minute and a half, 2 minutes at tops. I told Bean, dude, I have too many clips. We got to leave it all in.
Come on, man.
You made the right decision.
Yeah, thank you.
Totally.
Thank you.
No wonder every time we go to Omar to do something, he's like, I'm too busy. No wonder.
We have to play this over and over and over.
Right? No,
this
is the best.
Thank
you. Have to.
Oh,
the
my
problem
God.
Was, how do you know when you're done, right? You could have done another 10 verses
exactly,
if you wanted.
Totally,
that's amazing.
Man,
no. Ladies and gentlemen, DJ Omar Khan. Well done.
Thank you.
Well done.
I feel like you need one of those helmets.
And now, it's time for A Moment with Kevin.
Have you talked to other coaches, other previous coaches, about what to expect or what the guys, you know, come into their mentally, what they're like, or any of that kind of stuff? Tips?
That was A Moment with Kevin.
No more questions for you, Kevin. Not so much. Hey, party people, it's the Kevin and Bean Show. Kevin and Bean are on vacation listening to the best of. However, the Showbiz Beat is brand new. I'm here along with my buddies Omar and Chip, and we're working over a hot microphone for you. It is about 8:45 in the morning. Thanks so much for tuning in. Before I get to the Showbiz news, I do want to mention, if you haven't already, get yourself a brand new K-Rock sticker. It is very cool. And if you fill out the back and enter, you could win a 2012 Honda Civic Hybrid and a 2012 Honda motorcycle. Not one or the other, both. Plus tickets to the Honda Civic Tour with Linkin Park and Incubus. If you'd like to get your new sticker and see our buddy Psycho Mike, he's going to be down there at the Del Taco in Northridge at Corbin and Nordoff from noon to 2. That's the Del Taco in Northridge. You can get tickets to the X Games. He's going to have tickets for Rise Against, Foster the People, Hootenanny. He'll have some K-Rock music and other cool stuff to give away. So get your new K-Rock sticker at the Del Taco in Northridge today from noon to 2.
So they finally got a better gig than doing the choice.
With Psycho Mike. Yeah, really.
Poor bastard.
I know, dude.
Speaking of the choice, the other show that's just like that, The Voice, getting some heat these days from animal activists, apparently. Now, I did not watch The Choice last season. Maybe that's to my detriment. But apparently CeeLo had a pet cat that he had in his lap all season. He brought his pet with him.
That guy's so, hey, look at me. Look at me. I'm wild and crazy.
He looked like a really fat Bond villain sitting there petting a cat while deciding on who was going to sing for him. This season, he is switching up. He's going to have his Moluccan cockatoo on the set with him.
But how are they going to show that on TV, dude? I mean,
cockatoo's a bird, Omar. It's a bird.
Okay.
He's going from the pussy to the cockatoo. That's what he's doing this season. Now, some people, like animal activists, like Born Free, for example, and the people at PETA, are very upset with this because apparently Moluccan cockatoos are endangered. And they're also high-strung, and their fear is that stress from doing the show could cause the bird to, in their words, self-mutilate. Hmm. So they're concerned that the bird will be under so much pressure from judging the singing competition that it will self-mutilate. Same fears they have about Britney Spears, by the way, over on The X Factor. So we'll have to wait and see what happens. But CeeLo may have his cockatoo with him this season. I, for one, would love to see his cockatoo.
Not me.
You want to see his pocket?
No, I'm good.
Today's Monday. We look at the top 10 movies at the box office. Brave from Disney, their new animated epic, is $66.7 million richer this morning. Number one at the box office by far. Madagascar 3, Europe's Most Wanted, came in number two with $20.2 million. Abraham Lincoln Vampire Hunter was third at the box office. And its debut weekend made $16.5 million. Prometheus came in at number four. And then Rock of Ages rounded out the top five. Snow White and the Huntsman. Sixth, That's My Boy was seventh, The Avengers, Men in Black 3, and Seeking a Friend for the End of the World, the new Steve Carell comedy. In its debut, made $3.8 million, and that made it number 10 on the list this weekend. Alex Trebek, host of Jeopardy, suffered a heart attack over the weekend. He was rushed to Cedars-Sinai Hospital in Los Angeles, where he's still recovering. A spokesperson says the 71-year-old host is expected to make a full recovery, and he should be okay when he resumes his Jeopardy duties when they start filming next month. So,
That guy strikes me as an ass.
Alex Trebek?
Yeah, he's an ass.
Why?
Because anytime
he does a good job, sits there, reads his little blue cards.
Anytime anybody gets anything wrong on that show, he's like, da 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 da. He acts like he knows everything.
Well, he does know. It's right there on his cards in front of him.
He's an ass.
Wow. You're the reason he had a heart attack.
And he shaved his mustache, which he looks all wrong. Seriously, that guy's an ass.
Johnny Depp's in the news. Johnny Depp's the man. First of all, he's not aging. He's like 50, and he still looks like he's 30 years old.
That's true.
He has signed some sort of pact with the devil. Plus, he's enormously talented. He's rich. He's famous. He just left his smoking hot longtime girlfriend, and now apparently he has the power to sway lesbians. Johnny Depp is reportedly spending time with actress Amber Heard, smoking hot actress Amber Heard. And the rest of us, you know, said, well, we don't have a shot with Amber Heard because she's a lesbian. Not Johnny Depp. No, no. He went there, and he said, hi, I'm Johnny Depp. She said, I like penis now.
Yeah.
That's what happened. They worked together, of course, on The Rum Diaries. That's a movie I liked enormously. And they have been seen together quite a bit these days. In fact, they're enjoying some new hobbies together. He bought her a horse so they could go horseback riding. Ah, oh, that's sweet. I'd like to take her horseback riding. Bareback.
Oh, really?
Know
yeah.
what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And he,
I think I get what you're saying.
You know what I'm saying? I don't think you understand.
I do understand.
This weekend was the debut of the Jersey Shore spinoff with Nicole, Snooki Polizzi, and Jenny J-Well Farley.
Ugh,
Snooki God. And J-Well! Overnight Nielsen ratings suggest that perhaps America is finally tired of the Jersey Shore crowd. 2.4 million viewers tuned in, which is about a third of the audience that Jersey Shore gets. So, I guess they figured out what we knew all along. It's really all about Vinny. That's why everybody watches that show.
Is it all about Vinny?
No, without a Vinny.
Yeah.
No show.
Their show wasn't merp enough.
It was not merp.
They didn't have enough Dina. Merp, man. Yeah.
Enough merp. Gwyneth Paltrow and Chris Martin, congratulations. They just bought a new home here in the Los Angeles area. It's a little tiny estate for them to get away when they want to be in one of their other many homes. 8,000 square foot home in Los Angeles.
Wow.
Yeah. That's a lot of footage.
Yeah.
He's got vast acreage, too, according to RadarOnline.com. Sycamore trees, oak trees, 6 bedrooms, 8 bathrooms. A mere $10 million is what they picked it up for. So
wow.
Congratulations. Mere bag of shells. I bet she's going to have lots of advice on how you can renovate your 6-bedroom, 8-bathroom home.
I was just going to say, I can't wait to read her blog.
On Goop.com. You can check that out. Also, congratulations to Caleb Followill and his beautiful Victoria's Secret model wife Lily Aldridge on Thursday morning at a hospital in Nashville. The two welcomed a baby girl into the world. Her name is Dixie Pearl Followill. Dixie. Oh, Dixie. She's their first child. They got married in May of 2011, so congratulations to those guys. And congratulations to a bunch of musicians that will get stars on the Hollywood Walk of Fame. It's been announced in 2013. The Backstreet Boys will get their star. Jane's Addiction. New Kids on the Block. Janis Joplin. Why so soon for Janis Joplin?
Yeah, right.
Usher, Talia, and Luther Vandross will all be getting their stars. And more music news. The Black Keys are not too pleased that Pizza Hut and the Home Depot are using their songs in their commercials. Turns out you have to get someone's permission before you do that, and Pizza Hut and Home Depot didn't. They use Gold on the Ceiling and Lonely Boy in recent commercials without asking for the okay. And the Black Keys are now asking for more than $75,000 for each song and a court order that would prevent them from using any of their music again. Both of those tracks are on the most recent album, El Camino. And the boys claim they did not use proper channels in getting permission to use
them. That's so weird. Only $75,000. You think they would ask for more? I mean,
maybe it's just
awesome.
A nuisance slap in the wrist. Maybe they're not looking to make actual money.
Okay.
Perhaps the injunction is more important to them than the money. But big companies like that, you think, would know better than
absolutely.
To just bogart somebody's music.
Oh.
By the way, did you hear Black Keys called Van Halen effing retarded?
No.
For touring without Michael Anthony, the bass player?
Are you kidding?
Yeah.
No.
Those guys are riled up. You know,
to wake
them up, you really have to upset
exactly,
them. And apparently
Van
Halen did.
Wow.
So. Today's celebrity birthday is Jimmy J.J. Walker, 65 years old today. Actor Ricky Gervais is 51. George Michael turns 49 years old today. Candyman, the rapper, is 44. Guitarist Sean Kelly from Sixpence None the Richer is 41. What was their big hit? Save Me, Kiss Me? Kiss Me, right?
Kiss me.
I like that song. How can you play that instead of freaking Gautier for the 1,000,000th time?
I'm going to fit in some more Red Hot Chili Peppers
in
Linkin Park after this.
I want a little Save Me. It's a sweet little song
it
about
is.
Kissing in the rain and following Dad's map and all that other crap that was in that song.
That's why we don't play it.
Angela Kinsey of The Office, 41 years old today. Mike Kroger of Nickelback turns 40. Linda Cardellini, she is from ER and Scooby-Doo. Freaks and Geeks, 37 years old today. Busy Phillips, also from Freaks and Geeks and ER. Dawson's Creek as well, 33 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman, and I walk the showbiz beat.
6.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q, and it is 9 minutes after 6.
Obviously, you're running out of time if you want to join us for the K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas Concerts coming up in less than 2 weeks. We have your choice of days on today's Kevin and Bean Show. Mr. Skin joins us later this hour, too. And also, we have more information. We'll talk to the LA Times music critic about the Grammy nominations last night.
All right, you got to go to kevinandbean.com, krock.com, look at picture of the day. Tattoo artist gets revenge on cheating girlfriend.
I am very sad that Dave the hater suggests that this story may not be true, because I want this story to be true more than anything in the world. Don't you?
Of course. Here's the story, and then we're going to take your calls of revenge. Now, funny revenge, you know? Funny revenge. People, we shouldn't have to say that, but every once in a while we go, yeah, stabbed your cat. It was awesome. We don't want those. We want funny. Rossi Brovent is her name.
I bet it's not.
She is suing for £60,000.
$100,000.
And the guy's name is Ryan Fitzgerald Rossi. Now, he's from Dayton, Ohio. And apparently, she wanted a Narnia tattoo on her back, and he's a tattoo artist. He found out she was cheating on him.
We should mention, they were dating.
Yep. He doesn't tell her he found out that she was cheating on him. He just says, I'm going to pick my moment.
And by the way, let me pause right there before we tell the rest of the story. This is the brilliant way to exact revenge, is to wait for your moment. Is to not, when you find out something like, hey, my partner's been cheating, and maybe this works into the stories that we're going to be hearing at 1-800-520-1067, you don't immediately blow up and start screaming. You keep that information, and you sit on it, and you go, and you think about it, and you go, what can I do that will hurt her as much as she hurt me?
I couldn't do it.
Really?
No.
You couldn't pretend everything was okay and then wait for your moment to strike?
I don't think so.
Listen to this. He got out a bottle of wine, and they both started drinking the wine. She says, he tricked me by drinking a bottle of cheap wine with me and doing tequila shots before I signed this consent that says, you know, the artist can pretty much do
whatever
his best version of whatever I want.
Yeah, my sense on this story is that this was her boyfriend. He was a tattoo artist. Obviously, she knew and respected his work. So she said, hey, give me a Narnia tattoo.
Yes.
And he said, yeah, I got just the thing for you.
Yes.
And had her sign the paperwork because he knew what he was planning on doing instead, to give him the artistic license to do a Narnia tattoo. And she just trusted him. And she was a little bit tipsy. And she didn't know that he knew that she was a lying whore.
Now, here's the first line that I didn't read in its entirety. A furious woman is suing her ex-boyfriend after he tattooed a steaming poo on her back. That's what he went with. That was not Narnia. I don't remember that part of Narnia.
No steaming pile of poo.
No. That was in the deleted scenes on the Blu-ray.
And by the way, this is not, how shall I say? It's not life size. It's back size. It's the size of her back.
Yes.
It's
horse size.
It is, yeah. It's horse size. Yeah, it's amazingly.
Wait, did you say horse size or horse size?
Horse size.
Okay. And it's got bugs flying around, flies and stuff. It's beautiful. It's really beautiful.
I just wanted to be there to see this happen because...
See her face?
Yeah. A, to see her face, and B, the glee in her boyfriend's eyes.
Well...
As he was putting steaming pile of poo on his cheating girlfriend's back, that must have been the sweetest half hour, whatever it took, an hour, of his whole life.
Are you almost done? Let me look at it. No, just a second. Give me a minute. I'll finish it in a second.
I mean, if this is true, this is one of the greatest revenge stories I've ever heard in my life.
If it's not true, we still choose to believe it.
Yes, we do.
Because that's our option.
And again, we're looking for your revenge stories at 1-800-520-1067. You be the judge on this, by the way. It was underhanded and mean, but legally, he is the tattoo artist who has his client's signature saying, you have my permission to tattoo whatever you want on my back, right?
Oh, yeah. I think any tattoo artist has. You have to sign that, probably.
Probably so. In case you misspell or something like that, they don't want to be able to sue the shop.
I actually do have a story.
Yes.
This was a long, long time ago. There was a guy I was dating that I knew was seeing somebody else. And he kept a hide key in his car.
Yes.
Where you know, in case he lost his key, and I knew where it was. So I drove to where she lived. And I saw his car there.
Nice.
And I think
Detective Lisa.
Yeah, yeah. This was a bad time. And I moved that car far away.
Awesome. Just like a couple of miles away.
Yeah, so yeah. He thought it was stolen when he came out?
I guess. Sweet. I never really found out what
happened.
You never
even talked to him again?
I never did. But I moved the car. You know, I probably only, because I had to walk back, so I didn't move it that far. But yeah, you would freak out, and I'm sure it took him a long time to find it.
I wouldn't think either that somebody had moved it. If it's not where I left it, it's gone.
Right.
Because the last thing on his mind was you at that point.
Right?
Obviously.
So he wasn't thinking about, I wonder if Lisa was here and moved my car.
Bet she moved my car.
By the way, where's Ralph? We need to get Ralph in here. Didn't he have some crazy story about some spurned...
He talked her down.
...girlfriend that was going to paint...
She was going to paint the outside of his house.
She was
going to
paint the outside of his house. Yes. He talked her down and nailed her.
Yes.
On the same day.
That's a magical story.
That's magic.
So revenge stories is what we're looking for. If you got revenge on somebody that was cheating, 1-800-520-1067 is the number. You're not going to top the poo on the back.
Steaming pile of poo is the greatest revenge story ever, unless you've got something we haven't heard.
Right. So go to kevinandbean.com or krock.com and check that.
Right now, make sure you're on krock.com or kevinandbean.com to see the picture of a steaming pile of poop on a young lady's back. She thought she was getting a Narnia tattoo from her boyfriend, who was the tattoo artist. However, he found out she had been cheating, and this was his sweet revenge.
I got to be honest, I don't remember this scene in Narnia.
We are taking your calls of revenge at 1-800-520-1067. I think this is going to be fun. Why don't we start with Kat? Kat is on line 4. And by the way, isn't there a TV show on right now called Revenge, where a woman like changes her identity and moves back into town and then screwing up the lives of every single person that put her dad in jail when she was a young person?
Yep.
Something like that. Mm. I think the show is called Revenge, and it's just based on all the different ways you can get back at people. Let's see what Kat's got. Kat, hi.
Hey, sir. How you doing?
Kat's a man?
A dude named Kat?
I was thinking,
whose sweet revenge is this?
What's the name? Katarino?
Yeah, call me Kat. Katarino.
Oh, okay.
All right. People don't know how to pronounce it.
Okay. All right. No Katarino. What'd you do, man?
Oh, well, anyways, I was in Iraq. I was in the military, and kept on getting a bunch of emails by a bunch of friends saying that this girl cheated on me. Didn't want to believe it. Ended up coming home, found out that it was true. She had a forge. So, you know, the little forge had a little locking key.
Mm-hmm.
So I put the passcode in, got the key, got the car, took it to the courthouse, parked it on a handicapped spot, called the cops saying that it was... didn't have a handicap sticker, right, and they towed it away and had it impound lot for 60 days.
Whoa! That is huge!
Did she? And this is funny because Lisa just drove the car away and left it. You made sure it got towed. Did she ever figure it out? I mean, how did she find out where it was? I wouldn't know where to look.
Well, actually, she called me and she said, hey, he said, you towed my car and got all the money. And I said, oh, well, next time you should think twice about cheating on somebody.
Yeah!
So you were able to not tip her off that you knew she was cheating and just wait till the time was right to exact your revenge.
Yeah.
That's what Lisa was saying. She would not be able to wait.
Yeah, it would be really difficult.
It was really hard, but I had to try to do it.
That's awesome. Thank you, Kat. Appreciate that. 1-800-520-1067. Our man Bill is next. Bill's on line 2.
If Kat didn't sound so tough, I would have made more fun of him.
But he survived Iraq. He could survive you.
Bill, hi.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Good. Talking revenge. What happened?
I had planned a beautiful weekend with my girlfriend, and a couple of days before I found out she had cheated on me. So I had a weekend planned in Vegas, and instead of taking the car to Vegas and leaving the car, I took her to Vegas and I left her there.
How do you lose her to get away?
Oh, I told her I pulled up to the front instead of paying for valet to park the car. I told her to get out and I would, you know, get the stuff and bring it up to the room.
See, that's so weird to me because if my girlfriend cheats on me and I find out and I have a plan to go to Vegas, I go to Vegas by myself or get some friends to go or something. You had to drive all the way there with her?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
So after you drove away from the hotel did she start calling you on the cell phone going, hey, where are you? I'm still waiting.
It took her about 20 minutes.
And did you answer, or did you just let her stew?
No, I answered the phone, told her I'd be up there in a while. And
yeah, I love it.
She stuck
I love it. Just wait for me. I'll be there.
Oh, man.
So how did she finally get back home?
Honestly, she figured out about maybe an hour or so later when she called her friends trying to figure out, you know, if I had something planned or surprised. And nice. I told them I left her there.
Yep, you did have a surprise.
That's awesome. Hey, did you guys break up at that time, or did you guys get past it and get back together?
Oh, no, I haven't seen her in over 10 years.
That was it.
Yeah,
okay.
That seems like maybe that's a deal
great
breaker.
Call. Yeah, I think so, too. But people do crazy stuff. Thank you very much for the call. Let's try Cody next, line 1, here on the Kevin and Bean Show, talking revenge. Cody, thanks for calling. What happened, dude?
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good.
Hey, I'm in the Marines, and we're on a deployment, and we were stuck on a Navy ship, and the Marines and the Navy don't really get along too well,
right.
As some of you might know, but we had this one senior chief who hates the Marines, like, more than anything else, and we found him drunk in a port where we had gotten to know one of the local tattoo artists there in one of the bars, so we got him extra drunk, and when he passed out, we took him to the guy's tattoo shop and have him tattoo Marine Corps emblem on his chest.
But why, though? What was the revenge part of this?
He hated the Navy.
There was a lot of stuff that he did, being a high-ranking senior in the Navy to kind of torture the Marines, but not really torture, but just get back at us. It was like just a revenge thing between the two branches. So.
Where did you say the tattoo was, on his neck or back?
On his chest.
Chest. Oh, nice.
Wow.
Marine Corps.
By the way, don't the Navy guys hate the Marine guys because the Navy guys aren't good enough to get into the Marines?
That's correct.
That's what I thought. Okay. Thank you very much for the call. We got another Cody, believe it or not. He's on line 4 joining us on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hi, Cody. Thanks for calling. What's up, dude?
Hey, guys. Doing good. Yeah, I was dating this girl, and she was cheating on me, so I called Border Patrol and told them that she was smuggling drugs.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Whoa, wow. Was she?
No, but they held her for 6 hours and cavity searched her.
Oh,
nice.
Sweet.
I can't believe they... I mean, I guess if they get a tip like that, they're going to follow through on it, but it seems like it would be pretty quick to find out she doesn't have drugs on her, but... Oh, you must have been enjoying every minute of that.
Well, you know those Canadians, man. They just kind of check everything.
Oh, it was Canada?
I wasn't aware of that. Yeah. Thank you.
All right, thank you for the call.
How about one more? How about Ed? I was wondering if we'd have anything that it might involve photos.
Ed, hi.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good. Revenge. What happened?
Alright, so I was dating this girl, and she was completely insane, but that sex was amazing, right? So, we're dating probably a couple years, and she's crazy jealous, she's always nuts. And finally, I break it off with her, and it took like a month and a half, she just wouldn't take no for an answer. And so, a couple weeks later, I get a Polaroid in the mail, and it's her screwing my best friend. And it says, written in Sharpie on the bottom, wish you were here.
Wow. So, in other words, she thought she was getting revenge on you by showing her having sex with somebody else. But you were over her, so you didn't really care, right?
Yeah. So, I took the Polaroid, I dropped it in an envelope, no note, and sent it to her mom.
There you
nice.
Go.
Ladies and gentlemen, there it is.
Nice. Well, you go ahead and talk about whatever it is you're talking about. I'm looking at the Kate Beckinsale photo gallery at KROQ.com right now.
So. Yeah, I put a lot of work in heart.
You sure did,
didn't I? Mm-hmm.
You sure did.
A lot of photos of Kate Beckinsale.
Well, we're hoping to talk to her in about 10 minutes or so right here on the Kevin and Bean Show. First, though, ladies and gentlemen, the Wheel of Bad Animal Voices.
That's what I'm talking about. Here are the categories. Irwin, the formerly paralyzed kangaroo.
Oh, that's such a sad story. I hope we can talk to Irwin.
Cat with two faces. Mm-hmm. Olay, the dog that survived an avalanche. The surfing goat. The badass super soldier ants. Boo, the cutest dog in the world. I'll quit if it lands on that.
Oh, I love Boo. I love Boo.
The albino cyclops shark and the Indian scalping leopard.
Wow.
What happened to Kittler? Did we take Kittler, the cat that looks like Hitler, off the wheel?
I think we did.
Because I think after a while, if it doesn't land on it, they just they go to a different category.
Yeah, we gave up on that. So let's spin the wheel, shall we?
It's time for the Wheel of Bad Animal Voices. Where do you think it's gonna land?
Don't know.
It's gonna be pretty bad, but Kevin and me don't care, so we'll do it anyway. It's time for the Wheel of Bad Animal Voices.
All right, let's spin that wheel and find out which story we're gonna call to find out more information about. Which one is it today?
The surfing goat.
Yeah! The surfing goat. This is a California Wheel of Bad Animal Voices story. Grover Beach is where it is. And, well, I've had a goat, by the way. This is Bean speaking. Goats are terrible pets. Don't ever get a goat. I've always said in my next life, more sheep, fewer goats, because goats are horrible pets.
But they surf well.
Apparently, this guy, Dana McGregor, loves his little pet nanny goat, named Goatee, by the way, or Goatee, depending on how you want to pronounce
it. Not much of a name.
And he has taught his goat how to surf, and apparently it has become an internet sensation. The video hit YouTube and then hit the Today Show, and the next thing you know, it's on every channel all the time, always. They put this goat on a surfboard, and he surfs. That's what Goatee does.
I believe we have Goatee on the phone as well.
All right.
Goatee?
Everybody's talking about the goat.
Look.
Yeah, what's up, man?
Goatee, I know that what goats would rather do is eat and poop. How on earth did your owner talk you into getting out on a surfboard?
Well, he said, look, dude, there's some glassy sets out there. So once we get past the ankle slappers, man, they will get out there and get some gnarly waves, dude. And I said, shrouping.
So it sounds like you're actually having fun. It just seems like something that wouldn't be entertaining for an animal with hooves to be standing on a surfboard on waves.
Yeah, man. It's a surprise to me, too, how much I love it. But, you know, it helps that we get a little stoned before we do.
I was going to say, you sound a little baked. Is that a morning ritual?
Yeah, a little wake and bake. Then we take our longboards down to the beach, man. And it's the best way I know to commune with nature, other than, like, eating a can.
Right.
Right. Which is really cool, too, especially if that can has pot in it.
So, Goatee, what's it been like for you to become suddenly famous? Apparently you have quite the fan club all around the world after seeing these YouTube videos.
Hold on. Uh-oh.
This seems dangerous.
Oh, man, that is gnarly. It's great, man. I got a lot of fans, and I get a lot of sex. What am I, a boy or girl goat?
I think you're a girl. I think you're a nanny goat.
I get a lot of dudes banging me.
So you didn't read the article either.
No, I hate this bit, man.
It's funny you would ask us, though, what sex you are.
Well, you know, I'm so stoned, I don't know whether I'm a boy or a girl.
Right.
And it's hard to look between my legs
because
I'm surfing.
Right.
And you want to keep your eye on the horizon.
Sure, I hear you.
Right.
Because I'm hanging too.
Hey!
It's just no fun when it's just you and me. Hey, party people, it's the Kevin and Bean Show at 9:43 in the a.m. Thanks for joining us this Monday. Kevin and Bean are on vacation. It is the best of Kevin and Bean. However, I will be here with you, bringing you the latest and greatest in showbiz news because I still love you, even though Kevin and Bean don't.
They hate.
Let's talk about showbiz news. Before I get to that, however, I do want to give you a heads up. You need to grab yourself a new K-Rock sticker. You can pick it up at any Southern California Del Taco. For instance, the one in Northridge today. From noon to 2 p.m., our buddy Psycho Mike will be there, and he's going to have tickets to the X Games to give away. Tickets for Rise Against, Foster the People, Hootenanny, plus some K-Rock music and other cool prizes. You can pick up your brand new K-Rock sticker from noon to 2 today at the Del Taco in Northridge on Corbin and Nordoff. And you fill out the back of it, you send it in, you could win not only a 2012 Honda Civic Hybrid, but a 2012 Honda motorcycle as well, plus tickets to the Honda Civic Tour with Linkin Park and Incubus. So you can go to krock.com for more details. Tell Psycho Mike I said hi when you see him today. Give him a big wet kiss for me.
Call him fat for me.
Don't.
Yes, please
take that very seriously. It is Monday morning. That means we take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office. Brave, number one, a surprising amount of money it made this weekend, $66.7 million. It's a Disney animated film. They always do well, but I think even Disney was surprised by the success of this one. Madagascar 3 came in at number 2, $20.2 million, as it fell to number 2 this week. Abraham Lincoln, Vampire Hunter, in its debut weekend, did a respectable $16.5 million. Then Prometheus and Rock of Ages, rounding out the top 5. Snow White and the Huntsman, number 6. That's My Boy, The Avengers, Men in Black 3, Seeking a Friend for the End of the World, the new Steve Carell movie, made $3.8 million in its debut. That was good enough only to make it number 10 this weekend. Alex Trebek suffered a heart attack. What is a blocked artery? Correct, sir. He was rushed to Cedars-Sinai Hospital Saturday, where he is still recovering. The 71-year-old host is expected to make a full recovery, and his spokeswoman says he'll be ready to resume his Jeopardy hosting duties when they start filming next month. Oh, I'm glad to know he'll be able to do the rigorous lifting of the blue cards and reading
it's
them.
It's such a tough job.
She gets some staff to help him out there. Casper Smart, Jennifer Lopez's girlfriend, or boyfriend rather, is he using her for fame and money? Well, a fellow backup dancer claims that's just the case. Not only does he say that Casper Smart is using J-Lo, but that he's also gay.
Ooh.
Yeah. Joshua Lee Ayers is his name. He said he worked with Smart in the 2010 movie Step Up 3D. Oh, Step Up 3D. I love that film. And says he's gay. In fact, he has been tweeting this campaign against Smart for some time and posting a photo of Casper shirtless, wearing a sparkly belt, a scarf, and gold shorts that appear to have been stuffed with a empty beer bottle to imply an erection while surrounded by other shirtless men. Listen, just because you have one photo of you in sparkly gold shorts with a bottle stuffed in them surrounded by shirtless men does not make you gay.
Yeah, that's me when I get drunk all
that's
the time.
That's right. That's Omar. We got plenty of photos of him yep. looking like that. And to the best of our knowledge, he is straight. So, J-Lo's people are sparking back saying, Casper is not gay. These comments are born from envy and jealousy. It must be a slow news day.
Yeah, I hear he's a friendly ghost.
Oh, son of a bitch.
What?
File.
I'm just saying.
I think it's the first time you've ever been in the file.
I think so.
Congratulations.
Thanks.
Here's a note to Courtney Love. Professional lawyers, they like to be paid. Yeah, TMZ's got a great story this morning about the fact that Courtney is being sued by her former lawyers, Keith A. Fink and Associates, to the tune of $400,000 in legal bills.
Wow.
Now, Courtney had them address 14 different legal matters in a matter of 10 months while she was employing them. So in 10 months, she had 14 different lawsuits going with these people. No wonder she racked up
she cray.
Big bills. Yeah, she's cray, as you said. Apparently, Love kept sending the firm thank you notes and flowers and gifts and tickets to concerts, but no checks, turns out. When she finally did send a check to cover the bill, which she had racked up over $500,000 in attorney fees at this time, the check bounced. Mm. So now they are suing her for back payments and late fees because they want to get paid. They're crazy that way, those lawyers. Here's the thing. You can't screw the lawyer because they can sue you for nothing.
Exactly.
That's what they do. Lady lawyer was having dinner with a porn star the other night. It's not what you think, however. Apparently, this is the porn star she's going to be working with in that new independent film, The Canyons, that she's working on. His name is James Dean, D-E-E-N, not the dead one. James Dean is known as the Ryan Gosling of porn. He's a handsome, pretty good actor, and they're working on this movie, The Canyons, together that was written by Bret Easton Ellis, the famed writer who did American Psycho and Less Than Zero. So I guess they had dinner together to get to know each other and to get airtight later.
But, wow.
That doesn't say that here. I'm just speculating. Okay. And Miley Cyrus was busy this weekend. She cruised by a medical marijuana dispensary for a little pickup. Now, she didn't actually go into the dispensary. She dropped her friend off, who apparently needed some herbal remedies because she's got some sort of illness, I'm sure, that requires medical marijuana to aid her.
Or salvia. She likes the salvia.
The friend went in and did a run, picked some stuff up, and I guess it was one of those, if you're buying, I'm flying kind of things.
Right.
Miley drove, and they picked up some party favors,
right,
for what was going on this weekend. Her friends are calling her Bob Miley, by the way. She smokes so much.
Really?
Smokes so much pot.
Wow. Yeah, I want to party with her.
Yes, you do.
And her teeth.
Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthdays. Actor and comedian Jimmy J.J. Walker. He is 65 years old today. A couple cast members from one of my favorite TV shows, Freaks and Geeks, are celebrating their birthdays today. Busy Phillips from ER and Dawson's Creek is 33 years old. Linda Cardellini, also from ER. She was in the Scooby-Doo movies. She's 37. Mike Kroger, bassist for Nickelback, celebrates his 40th birthday today. Actress Angela Kinsey from The Office is 41. Guitarist Sean Kelly from Sixpence None the Richer also turns 41 today. Rapper Candyman is 44. George Michael, formerly of Wham, formerly of the Men's Room at Will Rogers State Park, he is 49 years old today. And actor Ricky Gervais celebrates his 51st birthday. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.